Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I just did a 35-minute taped interview with Tucker Carlson because he got here at 10 o'clock, an hour before showtime. And we're going to add a lot of video clips and documentation of what we talked about. It was a pretty amazing interview. And now he's going to be live in studio with us coming up for the balance of the hour after this first break. It is the 28th day of already February, the last day of February, 2014. I just double-taked on that. And we are going to be here for the next 3 hours. And then coming up later in the transmission, we also have Joel Skousen on to talk about the Ukraine situation that's escalating very, very fast. You know, I want to be clear here. I don't romanticize Vladimir Putin. I don't romanticize the Russians. But it's wrong to use al-Qaeda to attack the Syrians and start a war. And so Russia was on the right side of that, and our own military agreed with that. And a lot of the Republican leadership did it, as well as Democrats, and that stopped. And it's wrong with George Soros to go in and start this revolution in Ukraine, even though I know that Ukrainians have some real issues with Russian influence in the East. I get all that. My issue is, as George Washington said, these foreign entanglements are wrong, and we have seen enough of American blood, sweat, tears, and our name being used for corporate interest. Because if you look at what's happened, they've just appointed, as the deputy prime minister over there, a central banker who's planning to basically loot the country. So there's been some neocon attacks on us saying we're putting out pro-Russia propaganda. And I just want to respond to those people that that's intellectually bankrupt. We are against funding al-Qaeda out of Saudi Arabia to go in and blow up 500 churches or more in Syria preemptively, to turn that country over to Islamicist. Now look at Iraq, much worse than it was. Country's overrun by jihadis from both camps. Iran's there. It's a serious situation. And this is not for American interest. This is for globalist interest that all of this is going on. That's where I stand on this. And out of these political wars and economic wars and financial wars, we the people end up losing in the final equation. And so that's why I'm a libertarian who is against offensive war and offensive meddling in other countries. I'd rather deal with people through trade and through soft power, something this country had up until the 1960s. So that is all coming up today. I tell you, folks, there is just so much news that we're going to be breaking down. We're going to be talking about a ton of it with Tucker Carlson coming up. Here's a new article out right now. Syrian rebels amputate man's hand live and then tweet it. And if you look at the flag right there on DrudgeReport.com, you understand that is an al-Qaeda Wahhabist black flag. And that is a Bin Laden Brigade flag right there. Just like you learn what the Texas flag looks like, or the German flag, or the Japanese flag. The Japanese flag is a white background with a red sun, rising sun. That is a Osama bin Laden Brigade flag right there. And if you go over here, there is a Wahhabist flag right there if you're watching us on television. So that's the orgy of off-the-chart insane news that we've got. This is out of the Washington Post. Syrian extremists amputate a man's hand and live tweet it. Well, no, what they are is al-Qaeda in the al-Qaeda outfits with the al-Qaeda flags. That's about 65% of the force over there. And they are taking over the entire country. Look at this. Look at this shot out of the Washington Post where they are chopping his hand off live on television. They're putting burqas on the women's heads. They are kicking women out of college. They are literally turning the country over to a bunch of cavemen from all over the Caucasus, you name it, that have flooded in Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, you name it, to have a Saudi Arabia-funded free-for-all. And we call this a liberation. This is outrageous. But now it's out in the open. And we told you this first 3 years ago.
Now, In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse.
It's a military mission in North St. Louis. Heavily armored vehicles are rolling into town.
And don't be alarmed if you see those over the next 7 days rolling through your neighborhood.
If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, do not be alarmed.
The guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
Just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Enough. 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 Enough.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
And as KSLA News 12 Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem. Us.
So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
Black Hawk choppers soaring through the night sky, but this is only a drill.
Heavily armed officers in Watertown search for the suspect, house to house.
It's a joint military training exercise involving local police, also military.
In your apartment!
I am in my apartment, sir.
Go back inside right now!
I am inside.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
The dramatic scene played out in front of our cameras. Parents grabbing their children and running after spending the night hunkering in their houses and then finding themselves face to face with the muzzle of a SWAT officer's rifle.
They let them in the area. They told them they could come in, and now they're coming in like they're trespassers, punching and shoving people.
We're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
This is the heart of 1776.
Well, we got a special edition for you today. We have a lot of great in-studio guests, but Tucker Carlson of Fox News is here. He also heads up one of the most successful libertarian, conservative-type news sites out there, and that's dailycaller.com that people see via Infowars.com and drudgereport.com because so many of their stories are just right on target, breaking the tyranny wide open. There's so much of it. Some of the stories up on Infowars.com, I see a theme today. Federal court denies First Amendment in California. You cannot wear American flag T-shirts because the illegal aliens just see red when they see them. So you're not allowed to wear those. Also, the TSA detains libertarian blogger after seeing Bitcoin in his bag. But again, we're joined in studio by Tucker Carlson to cover the waterfront. We've got Russia seeks access to bases in eight countries for its ships and bombers. Russia admits its troops are moving into the Crimea, as we reported 3 days ago. That's now confirmed mainstream news. We just covered the Russian news. Ousted president emerges at press conferences defiant, says they'll fight fascist hooligans. Look, I don't romanticize the Russians here. But at the same time, you've got Soros funding known neo-Nazi groups who've now gotten number three positions in the government, who really do wear giant swastikas around their necks. Simply amazing. That's one of the stories up on Infowars.com. U.S.-backed neo-Nazi party given key roles in Ukrainian government. And I was looking at this story this morning and going over it, McCain meeting with him a few months ago. It is simply amazing that 1 month he's meeting with al-Qaeda, in Syria to hand over Syria to him. And then the next month, He's meeting with the modern official Nazi party, now being put into official government positions. And their campaign slogans are blonde-haired, blue-eyed people with lightning bolts flying out of their hands like Emperor Palpatine. I mean, you cannot make this up. I'm going to cover it later after Tucker leaves us in detail. I'll read all the names, you name it. But again, if it was a real democracy move and libertarians, or it was like Poland throwing the Russians out or whatever at the end of the Cold War, I'd be all for it. This, though, is a big power struggle between the Russian corrupt system and the EU. And the EU, I think, is the more virulent of the cancers that's trying to take over the world. But Tucker Carlson is here with us. We're honored to have him. DailyCaller.com. You've heard my little intro rant here. What is your take on the situation in the Ukraine right now?
But my take, first of all, thanks a lot for having me.
That's great having you, man.
Yeah, I was in Austin. I've always wanted to meet you.
You're down here hunting?
Yes, I'm here boar hunting, and I thought no boar hunting trip would be...
That's why we got the guns out. Here, just sit there with that. It'll make you feel more comfortable. There you go.
I'm holding a rifle chambered in 7.62 and glad to be
here. That's a Navy SEALs use that. That's a Reaper.
Oh, it's fantastic. Thank you.
Would you like it? It's a gift.
I live in Washington, D.C., so I'm not even going to apply.
But it makes it more comfortable. We'll just sit here, you know.
It's fantastic.
We're celebrating Piers Morgan being bye-bye, but go ahead.
By the way, the one thing I believe in is in the Second Amendment. No, I mean, look, I'm very skeptical of a lot of so-called freedom movements in other countries. The bottom line is it's very hard to understand the dynamic on the ground outside of the United States. And so before we start giving our money, arms, prestige to various groups trying to overthrow this or that government around the world, we probably got to know who they are and what their agenda is. And often we don't. You're seeing it right now. In Syria, I'm not defending the Assad regime. I'm merely saying just because Bashar Assad is a bad guy doesn't mean the people who oppose him are good guys. And so we should pause before we start sending him weapons. But so often we don't. We just weigh in like we know what we're doing. And the blowback and the unintended consequences are sometimes profound, as you know.
And as you know, because you wrote about this last year, now they're openly in the Washington Post saying, oh, my God, Al-Qaeda got all these weapons. They may attack Europe with them. It's incredible. So the weapons... out of Benghazi into Syria are already leaking all over the place.
And we have a right to know that, by the way. I mean, half of what the government does seems sometimes like it's classified. And if we're arming a rebel group in Syria, you know, maybe all the details shouldn't be public, but that basic fact ought to be public, and it's not. You know, they keep it from us.
What do you make of the new Washington Post article out today where the Al-Qaeda rebels with Al-Qaeda flags are chopping people's hands off because they don't follow the religious rules? And it says the extremist Syrian group deemed too radical even for Al-Qaeda. Well, wait, they have Al-Qaeda flags. They have the Wahhabist flags, are now chopping people's hands off for not joining them.
They're savages, obviously. In the end, it seems to me our interest in other countries is stability. And so, you know, for all the talk... I mean, the irony is, for example, in Egypt, the Obama administration was talking about, you know, the right of the Egyptian people to determine their own future and to be free. So we, in effect, backed the overthrow of Mubarak. A year and a half, 2 years later, the people of Egypt are less free. The Islamists have more power. So, again, the paradox is sometimes as we pursue liberation in the rest of the world, we wind up abetting tyranny. And so we should just, like... be humble. Understand what you don't understand. Understand that there are always consequences you can't foresee. Sometimes it's better just to, you know, don't just do something. Stand there. Restraint is called for. And no one ever says that out loud because you sound weak when you say it, but it's true.
Well, saber rattling with Iran, all the numbers show, props up the mullahs.
Exactly.
And then saber rattling with Putin actually strengthens his position in Russia. And I just don't see how the State Department could be involved in giving top ministerial jobs in Western Ukraine now, in Kiev, two known neo-Nazis.
Well, look, Cuba is the perfect example. I hate Fidel Castro and his brother Raul. I think communism is the most evil system ever devised. I truly hated the Soviet Union. I'm not defending Cuba at all. My only point is our embargo against Cuba clearly allowed Fidel to stay in power longer. So, you know, think through what you want the end result to be and then, you know, do wise things in order to bring it about. I mean... you can wind up helping people by attacking them, I guess, is the obvious point.
I want to get into GOP and the whole libertarian movement, the Tea Party, and the battle that's going on there. But one of your compadres from the Daily Caller was here, and he said that we ought to bring up the point, which is a really good question I didn't think to ask, about how Wall Street is so behind Obama and how the Republicans are behind Obama, the leadership is not wanting to repeal Obamacare. What do you think is behind that? Because that's what's making the Tea Party so upset.
Well, there's been a huge shift in American culture and American politics that no one ever, people rarely mention, and that is that rich people now vote Democrat. Rich people and poor people vote Democrat. This is a broad generalization, but it's generally true, and everyone else doesn't. And so Wall Street absolutely is responsible for Obama's election, or partly responsible in 08. They supported him. They financed his campaign, even to some extent in 2012. And they are united. Wall Street is united with the Democratic Party and with some of the Republican leadership on the question of immigration. Low-skilled immigration obviously raises profits for some companies. It also brings in Democratic voters. And so there is this unspoken arrangement between the two parties, the leadership of the two parties, to back what they call immigration reform, increasing, not just legalizing the 12 or 13 million illegal aliens here, but in bringing, in doubling the number of legal entrants, low-skilled labor into the country, because it helps both the parties. I just don't think it helps middle-class Americans at all, and I don't think there's any evidence it does.
But he's already, by fiat, legalizing most of the people and not deporting them. I saw I think it was in the Daily Caller just the other day, that they've slashed the number of people in court that they're actually beating. You know what? Let's skip this network break. This is too important. We're going to skip that break right there. I can do that occasionally.
because I'm on radio show. It sounds like fun.
Well, no, it does cost the network money, but that's, you know, whatever. We do it sometimes because I just want to keep talking about this. Where do you see it all going? Because I see the elite in this country thinking short term about their profits instead of thinking long term about the integrity of the nation. I mean, this country's infrastructure, all of it is just rotting. And then government has this instinct to want to disenfranchise, get people on the dole, put them on welfare, cut their hours from 40 hours to 25 hours under Obamacare. Exactly. I mean, it really is Cloward and Piven.
Well, it doesn't make any sense at all from an economic point of view. You want immigration when you have a labor shortage. And we have the opposite of a labor shortage. We have persistent, long-term, double-digit unemployment. I don't care what the official numbers are. We have double-digit unemployment that's extended for, what, 6 years now, 5.5 years. You can't tell me that we have a labor shortage. We have just the opposite. So why are we bringing in, why are we doubling the number of legal workers? Because they work cheaper. Now, that's great for the businesses that employ them, and I understand that. I'm not attacking business. I'm merely saying it's not so great for people who already live here. The U.S. government has one job, only one job, and that's to look out for the interests and the safety of American citizens, not for people in Guatemala who want to come here, not for the, you know, striving masses around the world. It'd be nice if we could help them, but that's not our main job. Our main job is to watch out for people who are already here and citizens here, Americans. And that scheme, importing millions, literally doubling the number of legal workers here, shafts Americans because it undercuts their wages. It's really, really simple. There's no defending that.
Well, I agree with you, and the numbers are very clear. This isn't even really debatable if someone is educated about basic economics. Look at Switzerland. They don't let anybody in. Their money gains value, doesn't lose it, and they only let skilled people in, and they absolutely are the richest country in the world, highest standard of living. Versus here, as Ross Perot said, you bring in giant unskilled groups, it doesn't raise your country. It drives down the overall standard of living. We become like Guatemala or Nigeria. They don't become like us.
Well, exactly. California, where I grew up in Southern California. California, when I was a child, I'm about to turn 45, was one of the richest states in the country. It had a great school system and had great infrastructure. And it was also, by the way, a pretty conservative state. It voted Republican in presidential campaigns. One of the reasons that all of that has changed, the schools have disintegrated. It's too crowded for the infrastructure that exists. And the state has moved dramatically left. Immigration. That's the reason. The demographic balance of the state changed. It is more like Oaxaca than it used to be. I'm not attacking anybody. I like Mexican immigrants because they work hard and they don't beg, and I'm not a bigot. But it doesn't change the fact.
Doesn't change the fact that like 80-something percent vote to take my guns, and until we're able to deprogram these people, they get here and they get the welfare. They believe the Democratic Party is for them. The Republican Party leadership goes along with it. It is literally game over. Bring in an outside group to vote for Obamacare, to vote for socialism, to vote for gun control. That's why the Democrats are serious when they say they're going to turn Texas blue. They will. They'll bring in 10 million illegals, and now you got MSNBC saying my kids belong to them, and they will come and they will run my life.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And they are doing this with the complicit support of the Republican leadership because it benefits a small number of people. I'm not, just to be totally clear, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I don't think this is a secret conspiracy. I think it's completely out in the open. The Chamber of Commerce is lobbying for this immigration bill, and La Raza is lobbying for the immigration bill. And they have different aims, but they have the same goal, which is to increase the number of immigrants who come here. And by the way, we're at the highest level per capita of immigration in the last 100 years. We have more foreign-born Americans than any time in the last 100 years. We've absorbed an awful lot, more than a million.
It's a political takeover.
For 50 years.
And the people part of the takeover are going to have their prosperity destroyed. It's not like they're even taking over and they're going to win. They're taking over and it's going to be Oaxaca.
Well, it's awesome for rich people. I live in an affluent neighborhood in Washington, D.C. D.C. is the richest city in America. And immigration is great for us because it's good for business and it's awesome for people seeking inexpensive help. I mean, to be totally blunt with you. And so rich people benefit from immigration, but anybody who's not rich does not benefit from it. And so it is, in a way, an informal conspiracy against the middle. It's ordinary people do not benefit from it. They just don't. And when you press advocates in this, well, how exactly does it work that you import labor when you have an excess amount of labor? Why does that help? And they'll say, well, because you expand the economy. Really? Where has that worked in the United States? And they say, well, it's worked in Silicon Valley. Really? Because Silicon Valley employs fewer people than it did 30 years ago. So I'm not attacking Silicon Valley. I'm merely saying that, you know, the current information and finance-based economy we have does benefit people, but it benefits as a proportion of the population, a smaller number of people than the manufacturing economy we used to have. So Obama looks around and he's like, I'm upset about income inequality. Well, you know, you should be, because you get an unstable country when you have dramatic disparities in income. But do you understand why we have it? We have it partly, maybe largely, because of immigration.
That's right. And of course, you know what La Raza stands for.
The race.
And my issue is, I look at the Democratic Party and the demographics, and I've always been nonpartisan, but you can see they're going to get rid of the Republican Party right now. They are making it commit suicide. The Republicans are absolutely helping in this. And I don't want to have a total one-party system. We already almost have this with these committee chairmen. But when you look at La Raza and Mecha, and their slogans, for those inside our group, everything, for those outside the group, nothing. And you look at how the Democrats were anti-civil rights, anti-Civil Rights Act, anti-voting rights, up until the Republicans beat them. And people like my grandfather ran for office in Texas and won, you know, as a Republican when nobody was a Republican in the state, you know, back in the 60s. And the Democrats went from being the Ku Klux Klan party of race with Senator Byrd and all them to literally going, okay, we're going to go race politic with the minorities, make them the majority. And so basically they went and started financing Mecha, La Raza, all of the Ford Foundation. And that's why you have this new race-based system where we all have been conditioned as Republicans or as libertarians or as white people to be, oh my gosh, we're loving, you know, we're not racist. Yes, please, you know, do whatever. I'm sorry, I'm white. Beat ourselves with whips on the head. And then meanwhile, the Democrats have just recreated the Ku Klux Klan movement, but they've done it with minorities.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. I wish there weren't. I mean, there's no question that the country is more race conscious than it was when I was a kid. I thought we were moving away. I hate segregation.
Clarence Thomas said that and got demonized last week.
But it's just factually true. We went from my kids, I have four children, and they learn all about segregation. In fact, it's one of the few things I learn about in school. And how horrible it was. And I agree with them completely. The idea that the federal government would take sides based on race is immoral and horrifying. And I always want to say to them, but I never do because I don't want to upset them because they're too young. We do that now. The federal government takes sides and hands out spoils based on your skin color. It hasn't changed. In fact, it's become even more entrenched. What was once a tradition in the South and the law in southern states is now national under the rubric of diversity. Here's the problem with it. Not only is it unfair, it also creates undue ethnic awareness, which you don't want, and it's going to create ethnic politics. And the problem with ethnic politics is it's inherently unreasonable. People hate each other. If you and
but
I,
that's Democrat big city politics,
man,
where they break everybody. The Romans 2,000 years ago
Exactly. Controlled
Rome where they broke into ethnic groups. We're just going back to the Great Game.
Here's why you don't want it. Every other country has it. We've never had it. If you and I disagree on an issue, we can be mad at each other, but the issues get resolved, like they change, and we can become friends again. If we disagree on ethnic grounds, if we dislike each other because we're of different ethnicities, that never changes. Ethnicity is immutable.
And it doesn't make it about actual issues. It makes it about skin color.
And people become, by definition, unreasonable, irrational, in some cases violent, over ethnic division. And you really want to stay, you want to downplay the importance of race and ethnicity. And we are accentuating it with this.
Oh, Martin Luther King said, make it about what somebody does, what they stand for, not about what color they
are. I'm just saying they're playing with fire. I'm not even making a moral case here. I could, because it is immoral, but leave that aside. An atheist could agree that it is dangerous to fuel this fire. It can get out of control. There isn't a
country. Oh, you're right. Race stuff is like a religion.
Oh, man. But you don't want to mess with it. Because people, it just can flare up. I've traveled to a lot of countries and covered a lot of conflict around the world. And the one thing almost every place I've ever been has in common, at its core, the conflict is an ethnic conflict. That is the case in Iraq, Sunni, Kurd, Shia. They hate each other, not because of what they believe, but because of who they are. We don't want that here.
Same thing in Egypt.
Exactly. Same thing
in Ukraine. It's Catholic, Orthodox.
It's also Russian-Ukrainian. That's why you're seeing what's happening in Crimea. Crimea is 70% Russia. Ethnic Russians, who are different from ethnic Ukrainians. The distinction seems minor to us. It's not minor to them. It's central to them.
Well, that's right. And plus, the Ukrainians ran into Russia during World War II and killed a bunch of Russians. Then vice versa, the Russians came in and killed them.
And Stalin starved half of Ukraine in 1938, the biggest famine in human history. So, there's a lot that we don't perceive because to us, everyone's the same. They're all foreigners, but no, they break down along ethnic lines. You don't want that here. And we're accelerating it.
I want to ask you when we come back, Tucker Carlson is with us at thedailycaller.com. You see his news featured at infowars.com, other big sites like drudgereport.com. I want to ask you when we come back though, where you see our future straight ahead. And I want to talk about Hillary Clinton. You've got the 2016 bombshell. I mean, is it true that she's ill and is going to pull out, or they just know she's so unpopular, they're going to claim for now that she's ill? And we're also going to look at a whole bunch of other issues, the imperial presidency, the future of the media.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we got 30 minutes left with the head of thedailycaller.com, Tucker Carlson. He's also one of the main hosts on Fox News. You can catch him there with his commentary and also doing the news on the weekends. And of course, he's been on CNN. He's been on MSNBC, you name it, and he's here with us right now. Of course, he does not have the customary bow tie. Why did you get rid of the bow tie?
I joined the mainstream, Alex. I'm just like everyone else. No, if you wear a bow tie, it's like a middle finger around your neck. You're just inviting scorn and ridicule.
Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah. I don't mind scorn and ridicule, but I work in New York and a lot every week, so I have to walk through Penn Station, and the number of people screaming the F word at me, it wore me down after a while, so I just gave in and became conventional.
You got told off for wearing a bow tie?
Literally every day. People will scream obscenities at you. If you wear a bow tie, just try it. Wear a bow tie for a week. Just walk down, go to down anywhere in Texas, wear a bow tie.
But see, I don't wear a bow tie. I have 50 calibers, just weapons laying around.
Well, you're heavily armed, so no one's going to yell at you, but I'm not.
No. We just like to openly have our guns. Kind of like the socialists openly say, your kids belong to us. We're going to take over and take your guns. We just say, oh, yeah, here are our guns, to flaunt them in their face to try to acclimate them to liberty.
I love that about Texas. I grew up with guns. I grew up hunting from a really young age. And I don't know anybody who's safer around guns and more responsible with guns than people who grew up around guns.
Well, you are like a Uberman, like Putin or something, coming down to Texas just to hunt.
Of course. I absolutely love Texas. If I could make a living here, I would live here. My kids, we have relatives in Texas, and two of my kids were on their ranch last week, and they came back. We're moving to Texas. Everyone's nice. The food is great. You can shoot. You can fish. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, we need you because all the socialist Democrats from the cities they've imploded, like Los Angeles, are moving here.
I know.
And they're literally turning Austin into California.
Well, this is what happened to Vermont. This is what happened to Maine. It's what happened to New Hampshire. I mean, you had these kind of sturdy independent states that were flooded by refugees from states they destroyed, like New York and Massachusetts. And then they spread the virus, to the pristine states, which are now kind of depressing little.
And that's not rhetoric. They literally do it.
Put up a wall, baby. I'm serious. I gave that advice to friends of mine in New Hampshire, in Manchester, New Hampshire, 15 years ago, but now it's too late. Now New Hampshire is moving in that direction. Vermont is like, you know, Bulgaria. I mean, it's unbelievable. Vermont was always a small government. I don't know, right winger. It wasn't never right wing, but it was always, you know, pro Second Amendment, get out of my business. You know, I'm doing what I do. You can do what you do. We're not going to bother each other kind of state. And now it's this overweening nanny state run by super annoying people from other places.
And they come like locusts from the area they've already wrecked.
And they're aggressive. They're totally in your face. Like, I have a lot of problems trying to impose my views on other people. Like, I don't even with my kids, I don't lecture my kids at the table. I don't lecture people at, you know, my kids' school. I don't not bother.
Oh, no, they will come up and lecture my wife that we've got too many children.
Oh, no, literally. They are relentless and totally without shame. I believe in a...
Well, they call it nudging. It's like pecking like a hen.
There's, to me, a huge separation between my personal life and politics. I don't want to obsess over politics. I want to chase my wife around the house in an amorous way. I want to play with my kids. I want to have a normal life. Politics is worth getting involved in order to create the space for a normal life.
That's right. You have to fight them or they'll take over.
Exactly. But they never stop. Ever. They never stop with their political views. And when they come to your state, I'm talking about liberals here, you know, some of them are nice, but I mean, they just want to control you. And I don't want to be controlled. And nor do I want to control other people. I hate telling other people what to do. I really do.
Now, that's the worst part of my job. It's not fun. But people that love liberty don't want to be the boss. People that are into control, they want to be boss.
100%. And that's one of the reasons why it's an asymmetrical battle. In the end, the authoritarians have the advantage because they are willing to break eggs to make omelets, you know, whereas people like me aren't.
Looking at Piers Morgan, he never really imploded because he took over Larry King's slot that was already going down, and it went from 2 million viewers down to 500,000 viewers down to 400,000 viewers, and the lecturing and all of it. But I see that as a bellwether of a rejection of globalism, a rejection of the nanny state lecturing people that he is so hated. I mean, when I blew up at him, they put that on every channel in the country, and it just re-aired this week again. I didn't give myself credit for it, but a lot of mainstream media gave me credit for kind of being the bellwether of the straw that broke the camel's back of Piers Morgan, I guess, being sent packing back to England. What is your take on him and the whole phenomenon of, like, he was Obama or something? They put everything behind him, promoted him, gave him every big guest, still fell right on his face.
The dogs won't eat the dog food, as they say in the political business. You can roll out the biggest ad campaign ever, but if they won't eat it, you're not selling any. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I think in the end, he just didn't put on a very interesting or appealing show. I think the gun control stuff was alienating to a lot of people because it should, even if people agreed with him, he clearly didn't understand America. He didn't understand that guns for Americans are not just some affectation, not just some, you know, symbol. They are integral to our country, to our freedom.
Earlier you said that it's baked in.
It's baked into the cake that is America, absolutely. And he didn't get that. And boy, was he arrogant, really, really arrogant. I loved your exchange with him. I have to say I was rooting for you.
Well, thank you. But I mean, that should have been an example for him that for 2 weeks he had a rating spike after that because there was something real on there, not just a bunch of pinheaded perseveration.
Well, and Piers Morgan, you know, was no Larry King. I worked at CNN for five or six years when Larry King was there, and people always said, Larry King's stupid. Really? I knew Larry King pretty well. Not stupid at all. One thing about Larry King, he actually listened to other people. He'd have on guests. He would ask them interesting, evocative questions.
Well, if you heard his radio show back in the day, and I've actually gone in online and heard some of the old shows, he's really smart.
He's really smart, and he was good at getting interesting stuff. It's like Howard Stern. One of the great interviewers ever. I thought you had a great interview on that, on his show.
No, he is good.
He gets the cool stuff out from his guest, whereas Piers Morgan, I always felt, was just interested in talking about himself and his friends and his stupid opinions and had this obnoxious accent. I love the idea of him being sent back to cold, fog-covered, unhappy, pasty white England.
I would feel weird if I lived in England and had a primetime TV show lecturing them all day, telling them that they, you know, had bad dental work or something.
Becoming an anti-tea activist or attacking, you know, the queen or something. It's not your country, you know?
Well, that's what Jay Leno told him behind the scenes, because I was told by Jay's people. He said, look, stop lecturing people about our politics. It's not going to work. You're going to be...
Jay Leno is a good guy. I worked at MSNBC for 4 years, and I did something obnoxious on, well, many things obnoxious on my show. And one time Jay Leno came to my office and said, you know, we're not great friends or anything, but he said, I just want to give you a piece of advice. What you just did was, you shouldn't have done that. You look like a jerk. And I said, why are you telling me this? He said, because I like you and I'm just giving you advice. And he was right. That guy's a nice guy who goes out of his way to
help. Yeah, I was told he did that to Piers Morgan.
Yes, I'm sure he did because he's that kind of person. And Piers Morgan, too, where I was smart enough to take Jay Leno's advice. I think you get advice from someone who's survived.
You know, the word is they got rid of him because he did those Obama jokes. Sorry,
I'm sure that's exactly right. I mean, look, what other, I don't understand the reasoning. I mean, again, this is like, he's a rich guy. He'll be totally fine. Whatever, he'll wind up somewhere else. But think about this. NBC fired him because he was first in his time slot. Have you ever heard? Twice they fired him. And both times he was number one in his time slot. When does that happen in broadcasting?
They tried to bury him and then it worked still. So they just got rid of it.
Because he's unpopular with people in, you know, New York and LA, but everyone else seemed to like him. I like Jay Leno. Anyway, it tells you that it's not a meritocracy. I mean, you think that TV rewards people who are the most successful, but look at Piers Morgan, the fact that he hung
That's
on
where line. I was going, is that it shows how rigged it is. They care about the politics and the trillions they'll control. It isn't even about the ratings, but then they still lose the audience. That's what the establishment doesn't get.
Yes.
I mean, when they program the people they put, and I'm no genius, but it's unwatchable now what's on CNN and MSNBC. Yes. Dylan Radigan has the high time slot because he's ranting and raving about both parties being bad, so they don't renew his contract. They don't want real people in there.
It's I don't know what the hell they want. I mean, presumably they want to succeed. They have shareholders who are demanding profits. You would think they would make wise market-based decisions, but they don't. They paid Christiane Amanpour, the host of the Sunday show on ABC. I don't think her husband wants to listen to her talk, much less viewers.
Like some kind of lecturing vampire.
It was bizarre. And they had a, they should have, Jake Tapper would have been, it would have been great. No, they've put Christiane Amanpour because she was friends with the wife of the president of the network. I mean, that's not a smart way to make decisions.
No, it shows it's total elite cliques that are disconnected like Marie Antoinette from, we talked about Drudge in this great taped interview that's going to air in a couple days on the nightly news. But getting back to that, I remember him a decade ago on C-SPAN. Well, I mean, you were talking about it, saying you're all gone, you're not going to have jobs, it's over. And of course, he's been proven right now.
Completely. I sat there in the audience in 1998 at the National Press Club as he told the reporters assembled that they were working for dying news organizations. And by the way, they laughed at him because at the time, the Washington Post had a flat-out monopoly, and so did all the papers. LA Times, they were awash in cash. Their reporters are flying first class on assignment.
Why is Drudge such a visionary?
Drudge is a visionary because he follows his own instincts. There's no board of directors at Drudge. If Drudge thinks it's interesting and thinks his readers will think it's interesting, he puts it up and he does it instantly. And he has an unerring sense, an unerring instinct for things that are interesting. He has a mix. Drudge takes his page. It's technology from 20 years ago, and it's still the most compelling thing on the internet because he takes it and he tells a story with other people's headlines. It's brilliant. If you want to know Drudge's view of America, read the Drudge Report every day. Don't even click on a headline. Just read the headline.
And it gives you a gestalt, a snapshot of what's going on.
Exactly. And it's Drudge is some of his obsessions, and I think it's fair to call them that, things he's really interested in. He's been interested in for 20 years, but only now seem relevant. For instance, weather. Drudge was always focused on the weather. I never cared about the weather. All of a sudden, weather is like something that we're really concerned about.
NSA spying.
NSA spying, exactly. The privacy stuff. People 15 years ago said, boy, that Drudge is a little bit paranoid about the government spying on us. Well, it turns out he was prescient, not paranoid. He was absolutely right.
Well, listen, 15 years ago, I had stickers over my laptops. People, family would laugh at me, and now it comes out. We know.
Over the camera on your laptop?
Absolutely. Government in the U.S. is taking millions of shots a year without warrants. Schools are watching kids at home with them. I mean, of course there's going to be a power grab by the authoritarians.
Well, it's scary, and technology definitely empowers the people who control it. And if the U.S. government controls technology, then they have an awful lot of
power. If they get away with it, I mean, take the Austin police chief. I should have brought this up. He was in here last Friday, or no, I guess it's Monday. It was a few days ago, whatever. The point is that he now, it's a federal initiative. They want to dial all the private security cameras in so the police can look at them. Well, pretty soon it's going to be mandatory.
See, I'm really bothered by that, intensely bothered, because I don't care what the intent is. I mean, presumably the intent is to stop bad people and protect the rest of us. But in practice, large organizations almost can never resist the inherent temptation to abuse their power. The more power you amass, the greater the temptation to abuse that power. And you see this in every big organization, whether it's the church, whether it's universities, and most profoundly of all, the biggest organization in human history, the federal government of the United States. And so giving them that power, even if it's, you know, for presumably noble ends, is a real risk. I think it's really unwise. The founders understood you want to take power and make it diffuse. You want to vest some with this guy, some with that guy, some with the third guy, and make sure that, you know, it's the same principle. You give, you know, it takes three keys to open a safe. You're not going to get any theft if you have that. But if you have one guy holding the key to the safe, he can loot the safe.
And generally it will end up happening because power corrupts and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely.
Sure, words have never been spoken. It's a cliche for a reason.
Here's an article from yesterday, Infowars.com. You read it here first. Government spies on innocent people via webcams, laptops, Xbox. Latest Snowden leak confirmed story Infowars broke 8 years ago. We had the patents and Google bragging that they were watching people over their webcams, and then, like, said they heard a dog barking, they would have a dog food ad pop up. And then it turns out that they're listening, and it's just absolutely incredible.
You just wonder, like, if I was a paranoid schizophrenic, I mean, there are people who, you know, who are unduly paranoid.
Oh, there are obviously people who think the sun is following.
Right. They read this? I mean, they must be ready to jump off a bridge. I mean, it's like, it's making, I am very unparanoid by temperament completely. I have very high self-esteem, so I assume everyone likes me. I assume all is well. I'm just an optimist by nature. It's just genetic. It's built in. Nothing I did. Even I feel a little bit watched knowing all this information.
Well, that's the Panopticon, full cult's Panopticon, because even though they're not really watching all the time, and or they can't even control the data, it makes you feel like you're being watched, so you self-censor.
But it bothers me that more Americans aren't upset about it. When I was there on this, I'll never forget being on the set when at Fox reporting out this NSA story as it first broke, the Snowden story. And feeling, you know, mixed feelings about it, but feeling horrified by the fact that the NSA could read my email and capture my texts and listen to my phone calls. I was shocked by how few people shared my view of this.
Oh, it's like knowing your neighbor every day is looking at you through your window.
But I'm really bothered by that. Why aren't more people bothered? I'm starting to feel like a crazy person. Am I crazy? I don't know. I don't think I am.
But the issue is, it's not that we have something to hide. We draw the blinds at night for privacy. You have to have privacy to have basic liberty.
Of course. There is no freedom without privacy. And the idea, I love it when people say things like, well, if you have nothing to hide, then why does it bother you? Really, can I have the password to your email? Of course you're not going to give me the password to your email, because privacy is a basic human need. And if you violate it, you've dehumanized me.
Well, the New York Times, as you know, you're absolutely right, just came out a few months ago talking to the New York Observer. So they have to go to kind of the alternative media of the newspapers to even get heard. And they interviewed over 30 people, and they all said, no, quote, we're not relevant. We cannot get our stories picked up or heard. Because that's what you want in media, is to put your new breaking story out and then have others pick it up and then affect the culture in a good way. I wear my bias of a libertarian patriot openly and naked, you know, my bias towards truth. But I can put stories out every day that end up becoming a national news story, even if a great site like DrudgeReport.com doesn't pick it up. But what must it be like for the New York Times now to have little ragtag sites like mine becoming more relevant than them because they're so discredited? How long can the power structure keep moving forward when the gray lady is dead?
Well, it's increasingly a niche publication, like so many. So
wannabe trendies that think,
right,
they're...
I mean, the New York Times has a lot of, I think, influence from, say, 101st Street all the way down to Times
and Fashion
Square on the West Side. Right. I mean, so a certain kind of Manhattan dweller pays attention to the New York Times, and nobody else does increasingly. And the reason nobody else does is because they don't try hard enough to be straight. They really don't. They don't make an effort. They obsess over their, I mean, I'm not anti-gay in the slightest, but I don't think that every single development on gay marriage is the most important thing. And I've always been for gay marriage, but I just don't think.
Well, exactly. Like, Ukraine's really important. But I told my reporters, my God, 80% of our articles have to be about Ukraine.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, at a certain point, I'm getting sick of Ukraine.
But Ukraine might be a little bit more important.
Because it might start a war.
Than the latest development in gay marriage. There is not a that goes by. Yeah. They are obsessed. And at some point, you don't take them seriously.
Well, listen, I used to never even think about it and didn't care. I'm getting sick of it, that I can't turn on any children's programming without it being in
I couldn't agree more.
I am very offended.
Just back off and be tolerant. Don't be in my face. I don't know. Let people have their own views. I think you should just respect other people.
You mean be liberal?
To disagree.
Because they're not really liberals.
At all. They're
Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. Exactly. I think that's what brings these people down, is pointing out that they're, listen, we're going to come back and we're going to smoke the 9/11 inside job pipe. on air. We're going to smoke the crack together. Straight ahead with Tucker Carlson. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We got this little 6-minute segment and a 5-minute segment, and then Tucker's got to go because he needs to go hunting. Maybe bear shirted out there with Putin. He'll like kill a bear in Texas, have it over his...
Siberian tiger shooting, actually, today.
Siberian tiger shooting today. No, I need to do more of that. I really do go hunting and fishing and all that, but I need to like do it like Putin, where I've got the...
Totally.
Got the shirt off and everything. What do you think of Putin? He is really a character.
Putin's out of control. Putin is hilarious. I mean, I think Putin's a thoroughly bad guy and an autocrat, and I'm glad I don't live in a world controlled by Putin. But as a media figure, I think he's one of the most amusing people ever. And you can never underestimate the value of, like, the personal narrative, the fact that, you know, he's out there shooting guns with hot girls. Like, people love that.
He's like a James Bond villain.
No, he really is. He's absolutely a James Bond villain.
And then compared to a totally fake Harvard socialist like Obama, it's like you kind of wish our president was cooler.
Well, and also, and believed in gender differences. I mean, there actually are differences.
He's always in race cars, hot women.
And women, exactly.
It's right. He's more John Wayne than Obama.
He's completely, and Obama's very much like, you know, using a non-specific gender pronouns kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Total mind control. Hey, listen, I said we're going to, my view is governments allow terrorists to attack. They've been caught financing them. They're financing Al-Qaeda in Syria. I'm not saying Dick Cheney had the plunger like Wile E. Coyote blowing up the towers.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy that the U.S. government allowed terrorists to attack. I'm open-minded. Trust me, I wouldn't have thought the
NSA. Well, they've sure used it to take our liberties.
They've definitely used it to take our liberties, without question. I just don't think that they allowed it. And I think knowing a lot, I live in D.C., I know a lot of people in the U.S. government. I disagree with what they do, but I think you know, they wouldn't have stood for that.
Let me play you a clip of BBC 24, 25 minutes before Tower 7, the Solomon Brothers building, fell, saying that it had already fallen. Let me play that clip for you right now. Go ahead and...
As you can see behind me, the Trade Center appears to be still burning. We see these...
And then you can see it right there. That's Building 7 right there.
Right.
And then she goes on to talk about that. And then, I mean, I showed you that
huge
earlier.
Clouds of smoke and ash. And we know that behind that, there's an empty piece of what was a very familiar New York skyline, a symbol of the financial prosperity of this city, but completely disappeared now. And New York is still unable to take on board what has happened to them today.
Presumably there were very few people in the Solomon building when it collapsed. I mean, there were, I suppose, fears.
The two twin towers of the World Trade Center.
All right, now we're going to show you some of the B-roll up close of Building 7 falling. Radio listeners can just search Building 7 collapse. We'll roll some of that B-roll now. I mean, what about Building 7? I heard CBS radio at 4:30 in the afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, when I was driving to get a pizza, because I'd been on air all day that day doing commentary on other shows. I heard them say the government was going to bring it down to protect the other buildings. And then later we actually found those tapes on CNN where they said, get back, we're bringing down 7. And then I talked to the deputy emergency manager who said they were told it was going to be blown up. He died 2 weeks after I interviewed him.
Yeah, I mean, then, you know, I have no idea what happened to Building 7. I think that the U.S. government didn't allow the hijackers to fly those planes into the Trade Center or the Pentagon or Shanks.
You know who was in Building 7?
No.
The CIA.
Right.
FBI.
I did know that.
That was the State Emergency Command Center.
I did. And there were also massive gold reserves in the basement and all that, apparently.
What about criminal elements in the government working with the Saudi Arabians?
If any of those ever emerge, if there's ever a first-person account of that, you know, I will...
C-Bell Edmonds.
I will keep an open mind.
You know about C-Bell Edmonds?
No, but the guys who did the demo team, supposedly, like, where are they? When they emerge, I'll interview them.
Well, they're with Whitman, Price, and Haddad, basking in the Maui sun. Their debt to society paid in full.
With D.B. Cooper.
The running man. Stay with us. I got something
Thank you for listening to GCN.
I got something special for you after this quick break.
GCN Live.
DailyCaller.com, InfoWars.com.
For 50 years, we've told them what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. For Christ's sake, Ben, don't you understand? Americans love television. They wean their kids on it. Listen, they love game shows. They love wrestling. They love sports, violence. So what do? We give them what they want. We're number one, Ben. That's all that counts. Believe me, I've been in the business 30 years.
Well, I haven't been in show business as long as you have, Killian. But I'm a quick learner. So I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
All right, Tucker Carlson, I appreciate you coming into studio. It's been a lively discussion and debate. And congratulations in the last 4 years on getting kicked out of the dinosaur media and having a top alternative news site so that the mainstream media, even bigger, begs you back to Fox News. So you've gone to an actual large audience now.
They're so nice and so straightforward. And I have to say, I have had the best time here. I did not expect to come to the Alex Jones Command Center, but I'm so glad I did. This has really been a
great What do you think it would be like? People in camo and paranoia?
I had no idea. I was having breakfast. I told you with one of my friends who said, you got to meet Alex Jones. He's a great guy. And I said, really? He said, trust me. Next time you're in Austin, you got to meet him. And then all of a sudden I had a trip to Austin and I'm just so glad
I
came.
Well, it's too bad we don't have time to go out to eat because you're busy going to go out there and shoot wild hogs. I'm
sorry. You've got an overpopulation problem. They've called
you. You do. They're eating the baby deer. they're running out in front of the cars. Oh, they're omnivores.
Wow.
So they chase down deer and eat them.
That's horrible.
They get up to like 1,000 pounds.
Well, I'm going to go slay some.
Huge tote. Yeah, slay a lot of them. Here is an InfoWars environmentally sensitive tote bag.
Awesome.
Okay. And
then, it's hemp.
And then look what's inside. We have the Wake Up America blend coffee.
Oh, dude.
We have a Fall of the Republic about our Lord and Savior Barack Obama.
Thank you.
We have a come and take it cap you can wear when you're out on the range.
I'm going to wear this with pride or without pants.
Listen, here's even better. This is a camo hat. Oh. Here in Texas at InfoWars, don't tread on me. Now you're officially...
I'll actually wear that as they shoot your pigs.
Absolutely. You are now officially a right-wing extremist.
Dude,
you?
Love it.
All right, anyway, it gets better. Navy SEAL manufactured bottle breacher, 50 caliber bullet made by Navy SEALs, 1776 worldwide. You're now in the 1776 cult.
That is so cool. Thank you.
I'm just jealous. I'm not...
Can I get this on a plane, do you think?
Absolutely. It's not a live bullet. I mean, I wouldn't put it on when you're carry-on. You know them. And then here... on InfoWars.com, because there's a war on for your mind shirt. But listen, that's not good enough for you. We have the new Molon Labe. What size are you, large?
Large.
I think these are extra large.
You know what? I'm trying to be closer.
Hey,
to
how about one for your wife? We have the new gold foil.
She will love that.
Okay, what size is your wife?
She's small.
Guys, can we get a small women's Molon Labe? InfoWarsStore.com, folks.
I'm gonna throw her
serious product.
The second I get home.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the ladies in the gold foil?
We may have a fifth child because of that.
I mean, like it's like a glittering Target.
Like, that's awesome.
And like they have like gates, like at a horse race, it just opens and you just run out.
Dude, I may breach those gates.
Literally like a greyhound chasing the rabbit. Now, these are pretty small. They're athletic fit.
Ooh,
your wife
that.
Must be petite if that's a medium.
She's a runner. Yeah.
All right, but you don't think she needs a, you think she wants a small?
Mediums, probably.
Okay, good. Okay, because I think it looks like a small. Okay, there you go, sir. There's a bunch of other goodies.
That was so fun. Thank you, Alex.
You bet. And look, there's some 9/11 truth propaganda, 9/11 chronicles.
I will keep it all going. As soon as you have evidence, call me, okay?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put the evidence in that 37-minute talk we did today.
Yeah?
I'm going to chop it full of Dan Rather saying it looks like dynamite, and the cops saying, get back, we're going to blow it up.
Oh, well, if you've got Dan Rather, then I'm sold.
No, I hear you. No, I'm just saying. All I know is they've used it to take my liberties.
You know what? I agree with you 100% on that.
So you're doing commentary throughout the week on Fox News. You have your own shows on the weekend.
Yes.
And then you're kicking butt over at Daily Caller.
We have 50 employees. It's great. When you're in Washington, you've got to come by. I hope you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got a great crew, but I've organically learned how to do all this. I need to pick up some tips because I know you guys break big stories every day.
You come over, I'll introduce you to our staff. They're hilarious.
Maybe I'll just send some of the crew up there and then never let them return. I'm joking.
Lunch on us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tucker Carlson, next time you come down.
Thanks, Alex.
We got to twist Drudge's arm to come down and go shooting with us.
He's so fun.
We could have like a libertarian shootout barbecue.
I want to open up the Barrett behind you.
Absolutely. Well, you can borrow it and take it shooting today if you want. All right, folks, that's Tucker Carlson. News, your phone calls, a lot more coming up.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I've got to say, Tucker Carlson, who I've been critical of in the past, is very charming in person. You just heard that hour-long interview with Tucker Carlson. And I'm going to put out a edited video. And by edited, he's not going to be edited, but I'm going to edit in neurotically with Rob Dew and some other people, everything I say being backed up in a 37-minute interview we did today right before we did the live show. And that's going to be out later in the week. But let me tell you, it shows a major sea change in media that somebody like Tucker Carlson would reach out to us about a month ago saying he wanted to come to Austin and go out to dinner with me. And then I said, hey, forget dinner. Why don't you come into the studio and we'll have a debate about a couple things in studio. We've got him on tape freaking out when he saw Building 7 in there on the screen in the TV studio. So this is a big way to reach out to people. And a big way to expand the libertarian movement. And we talk about how the libertarians are taking over the Republican Party, how the Republican Party is trying to block that. I mean, we're talking about real solutions here. Obviously, folks, there is just so much news that's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I got ready for the radio show at about 7 a.m. at my house today. Then I don't usually do an interview right before my own show, so I kind of got blindsided by it today, having him on during the first hour. But there is so much news we're going to be covering. But what I want to do is I want to open the phones up to get your take on any of the big issues that are out there. As we learn that Obamacare, the IRS announced, as you know, on Monday, that indeed on their own website they will be taking money out of your bank account. They will be tracking you in the tax return with penalties and interest if you don't, A, get insurance, or B, pay the $5,000 fee. To me, that's bombshell news of the bombshell news. So I covered that Sunday. I covered that on Monday. Here we are on Friday. I'm back covering it. That's basically all I think about what upsets me the most. Why isn't there a move to repeal Obamacare going on here? You got massive layoffs happening. You've got it hurting businesses everywhere. You've got it getting rid of people with pre-existing conditions. You've got it doubling, tripling, quadrupling prices. It is such a nightmare. And if they can get away with that, they can get away with anything. And I'm seeing it hurt people I know. If this thing still keeps going through, we already pay people pretty good around here. I mean, I pay them more than most people in media at their level. And folks, when you get, quote, health care, you end up paying for at least half of it. And there's some pools out there and things, but a lot of my crew already have their health care. Or they're being kicked off of what they had, and it's going up. And it's going to be really hard to keep the number of people we've got and to keep folks at the hours they are. There's a big temptation to cut people and cut their hours so that you can have more people and not have to pay for the health care. Which should be one thing if the health care was $12,000, $15,000 a year, like it was on average just last year. We're looking at $25,000, $30,000 for people a year. I mean, that's half of what some of them get paid or more. So if you're, quote, in business, and I'm not in business, I'm in media, but I have to fund myself, so I am in business. Most people in media don't have to do that. Most of the talk show hosts and radio hosts, they just have managers and handlers, and they just get a paycheck and go play golf all day. And I'm not knocking that. I'm in here in the guts of the operation from mail order in 1997 at my house, shipping out my first film to fund my operation. So I know what this is doing to the economy. I know what it's doing to our listeners. And it is the most monumental financial screw job tax I've ever seen. So I want your take on that. This story out of the Washington Post, I don't even want to show it again on TV. But it is the Al-Qaeda Brigade, and that is the Al-Qaeda Wahhabist flag. Syrian extremist amputate man's hand and live tweet it. And you can see at least on my screen. For some reason, it doesn't show up on your screen. You can see in the Islamic writing and the flag, that is a Wahhabist out of Saudi Arabian group. And they're saying they're even more hardcore than Al-Qaeda. So that's their new distraction, to say, well, it's not really Al-Qaeda, it's worse than that. The extremist Syrian group, deemed too radical even for Al-Qaeda, performed what may have been a Twitter first Friday, live tweeting the amputation of a hand. The amputation took place in a remote rural town of Maskana, am I saying that right, in the northern province of Aleppo, according to a series of tweets posted by the account by a supporter of the extremist Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. That's the Wahhabist group taking over. The first showed a photograph of a blindfolded man having his arm positioned on a table by fighters as a masked man wielding a sword waits nearby. Another man wearing a white robe of the kind favored by Arab Gulf countries. Well, I mean, come on, Washington Post. Those are Wahhabist flags behind him. Is reading a statement. A caption states that the blindfolded man is a thief who is asked to have his hand cut off in order to cleanse his sins. A second photographer is taken to the sword, is about to strike the hand while a burly fighter restrains the victim. A third picture posted an hour later shows the man with his hand chopped off, and there's video of it. And this gets everybody upset. What about throwing Christian, Orthodox, and Catholics, priests, off of five-story buildings? What about blowing up churches, hundreds of them? They blew up hundreds on Christmas week last year. What about just total siege with the West funding it and giving Al-Qaeda so much money they've now poured back into Iraq and taken over Fallujah? This is a total destabilization campaign, and it is outrageous. And meanwhile, I'm no fan of what the Russians are doing. I don't romanticize what the Russians are doing. But it is the State Department. It is George Soros. It is John McCain, the same guy going over and meeting with Al-Qaeda. They're running around now saying that, you know, you're basically a traitor if you're not for the freedom fighters in Ukraine, who are well-known actual neo-Nazis, you know, that do the Heil Hitler salute. We have photos of it. Major ministers doing Heil Hitler salutes, showing blonde-haired, blue-eyed God people firing lightning bolts out of their hands. That's up on Infowars.com in Paul Watson's article, U.S.-backed neo-Nazi party given key roles in Ukrainian government. And it shows McCain meeting with the very neo-Nazi leaders who we have photos of doing the Hitler salute, again with Emperor Palpatine firing power beams out of their hands. I mean, the Nazis didn't, they had red curtains like these folks, but actual power beams? I mean, can you guys pull up Emperor Palpatine firing power beams, please? I mean, let me say this. Politicians probably aren't good if their symbol is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman firing electricity out of her fingers. I mean, that probably shows these are crazed individuals. So there's Emperor Palpatine, I guess the leader of the Ukrainian right, you could call them. And if we go back to my computer, Paul Watson's article, we have the leader, U.S.-backed leader. How do you pronounce that guy's name? Ole Taya Shambach. I can't pronounce these folks' names. I just have him hollering Tiambach. And it says the confirmation that a U.S.-backed neo-Nazi party has been handed key positions within the newly formed Ukrainian government illustrates the fact that the Euromaidan uprising was a contrived coup d'etat and has little to do with freedom and democracy. Back in December, around the same time, the top U.S. diplomat, Victoria Nuland, announced the United States had invested $5 billion to help Ukrainians achieve a new form of government. Senator John McCain, with the party leader, how do you pronounce it? Ole Tiambach shared the stage, I've seen him all over the news, with him at the event during which McCain gave the United States blessing for the opposition revolt. The State Department is financing. And again, folks, what's crazy is they're going to open the borders up, let the EU come in and suck them dry and actually bring in all these foreigners, which will be anti-Ukrainian. But the public, who's sick of foreigners, will actually then go vote for a Nazi party, even though they will sell them out as well. And you got George Soros, the Nazi collaborator, involved. I mean, this is too rich, folks. The fact that both these leaders have been handed the reins of power following the ouster of the president just weeks ago Newland afforded them Washington's seal of approval, clearly reveals the United States' central role in the overthrow of the democratically elected government. He has a history of a banker, makes him the perfect candidate to assume the role of technocrat selling Ukraine into the IMF debt strategy. However, the Svoboda Party's rise to prominence is even more chilling given the organization's clear links to extremist groups and anti-Semitism. And it shows the top diplomat, Victoria Nuland, meeting with him. And here he is, the Nazi leader. And then down here, here he is giving the Nazi salute with electricity beams firing out. That this, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very interesting. Sieg Heil, U.S.-backed leader. Ole, how do you say it again? Yannibach? I hope. Tianibach. Ole Tianibach. Man, I got to see more of this party's artwork. Like, I mean, I got to tell you, I got to hand it to them. I've never seen anybody come up with that where they're firing electricity beams. But I guess Palpatines are blue, blue-white. Theirs are gold power beam. So what does that mean? Maybe he got in a time machine, went to the future? No, it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So maybe he's the trillionth grandson of Emperor Palpatine, and this is actually a Sith uprising. But I'm telling you, this goes with the globalists, how they fund Mecha and La Raza, the Hispanic supremacist groups. They'll fund the white supremacist groups. They'll fund Al-Qaeda. They'll fund any radical group they can to take over. And again, I'm not saying Russia's good either. It's just a complete disaster zone with George Soros running around captaining it. And then I've got right-wing neocon groups attacking me now because I'm not supporting George Soros. I mean, whatever. We come back, folks. What does John Wayne have to do with freedom? I'll tell you straight ahead. If you leave me,
if you leave me,
I won't miss you.
I won't miss you,
and I won't ever take
you
back.
I won't ever take you back,
girl. Your memory,
girl. Your memory
won't ever haunt me,
'cause I don't love you, and I feel by that. I got some horse.
You know, this happened a couple days ago on the 26th, and I mentioned it but never covered it. This is really a top story. And I'm going to do it here in just a minute and then take your phone calls. Google ordered to remove anti-Islamic film from YouTube. That is such a devastating blow to the First Amendment. I don't even know what to say, and that's out of Reuters. We're going to be covering that in just a moment. But first off, I think this is one of the best covers ever. We found an open source John Wayne photo, John Wayne and a lovely lady, and the cover of the new InfoWars magazine for the month of March, by the way. It's not even on the shopping cart yet. It's going to go up there in the next hour. You can buy it in bulk to give to your friends and family. Only way to get it. We don't even have subscriptions. Anybody who bought a subscription gets it for the next year. We're going right to bulk because that's more effective. At cost, a big color magazine. Its cover's black and white. John Wayne, and it says The War on Men. Doesn't that look good? The good-looking woman with the manly man? I mean, that's what it's all about right there. And that's what the ladies really want on top of it, even though they think they want a trendy or whatever that, you know, acts like a woman. The point is that, God bless John Wayne, this whole thing is about the chemicals in the water, the food, how they're targeting men to sterilize us. There's also a bunch of Second Amendment news, but this is a theme-based magazine to give to men and women so they can understand the war on men. And so I gotta love it. It is the new magazine. And it's got all the quotes by Douglas Wilson and by Thomas Hughes, Norman Mailer, John Wayne. I won't be wronged. I won't be insulted. And I won't be laid a hand on. I don't do these things to other people. And I require the same from them. Here's another one by Douglas Wilson. We live in a feminist and effeminate culture. Because of this, at best, as a people, we are uneasy with masculinity, and with increasing regularity, whenever it manages to appear somehow, we call for someone to do something about it. And the quotes just go on. Masculinity is not something given to you, but something you gain, and you gain it by winning small battles with honor. That's right. They don't want masculinity because Men won't put up with being slaves. Men won't put up with being pushed around. Men like to operate, real men, with other men that are honorable and have proven themselves worthy in good society. They want a bunch of scallywag, backstabbing rats that think being a male, the new masculinity that MTV puts out is a thug. A stupid gangster thug that cheats people and is arrogant to everyone and disregards everyone. That's the opposite of a man. That's a thug. Then women think, I don't want a thug, I want an effeminate lapdog male. So the media pushes that, but then that doesn't satisfy women. Women, what you want is a real man. And of course, all the studies actually show that. That's what women want, is they want a man. And, sorry, trendies, if you don't like it, but that's why there's a war on masculinity, and this issue of the magazine Expose It. Expose It, can't even talk now. U.S. Postal Service giant ammo purchase. New update on that is in the article. DHS gun owners are seen as a bio threat. Bloomberg plans to disarm Americans. An integrated investigative report about his latest plans leaked on that. We've got the updates on the Duck Dynasty controversy. Many people are renouncing their citizenship. That's expanding. We have an updated report on that. Will no one challenge Obama's dictatorship? School shooting expert threatened. We got an update on that. On how the retired state police officer has really found the evidence that it was staged. Ron Paul launches a clemency petition, BPA, and here's the articles on men. BPA lowering sperm counts, and we tie the articles in together. We continue with GMOs hinder animal reproduction in animals as well as humans. Processed food lowers IQ in children. And then we just go through kill more babies to save the earth. And we've got 297 scientists sign a statement saying GMOs are not safe. Study finds BPA changes your brain. And then we've got the war on men that Watson wrote last week, expanded, that Drudge and others carried. 10 ways masculinity is under attack. And again, the reason we have this is there's so much digital media now, and we've dominated digital media. But a lot of people disregard digital media now to a great extent. But you give them a big glossy color magazine that you can get for like a dollar a piece in bulk. You give these to people, give them to folks at work and stuff, you're going to wake some people up. And it's got ads for the radio show. It's got Scientific American, kill more babies to save the earth. I mean, it's just got so many hardcore articles in it. Great photography, great graphics. InfoWarsStore.com to get the March issue with John Wayne, the terrorist on the cover. The male terrorist.
The March. The Empire. And
you know that upsets Obama.
Alex Jones.
Need John Wayne in a dress that would please Obama. Of course, they have all the SWAT teams and the masculine troops.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
By the way, in my stack of news here, I have mainstream news stories reporting on streetlights that actually see through your clothes, that naked body scan you. And the way the media spins it is, oh, we're going to catch the terrorists with weapons. And the police worldwide are attempting to get governments to pass laws to make you hook your surveillance cameras into their network. And again, my issue with that is you can't trust the state in the final equation. History has shown conclusively that every time you give this type of power to the state, it will be abused. Here's Leanne McAdoo's report, Man on the Street, dealing with the surveillance lampposts that are coming to a town near you.
New LED lights greeting the passengers at a Newark, New Jersey airport are doing a little more than just lighting the way.
They're spying on travelers before they even get to the security checkpoints. The lights are fitted with computer chips, cameras, sensors, and Wi-Fi antennas. They collect data that can help detect suspicious activity or aid in police investigations. We reported on these spying streetlights in 2011 when Illuminating Concepts promoted the capability of IntelliStreetlights, which include energy conservation, homeland security, public safety, traffic control, advertising, and video surveillance. Using streetlights as surveillance tools has already been advanced by several European countries. Leaked documents out of the UK Home Office revealed that the British authorities were working on proposals to fit lampposts with cameras that would X-ray passersby and undress them in order to trap terror suspects. And it isn't just for street surveillance. These LED lights are also offering an alternative to Wi-Fi for your home and office. German physicist Harald Haas has come up with a data through illumination LED light bulb, where data for laptops, smartphones, and tablets is transmitted through the light in a room. Here's a patent for LED light broadband over the power line communication system. Now, considering the assignee is the Federal Law Enforcement Development Services, I doubt the end game is just upping your city's bandwidth. City offices in Minnesota installed these ceiling lights in 2010 to save money on electricity, thanks to the energy efficiency of the LEDs, but the lights also transmit coded messages with the desks below, which will allow data to be transmitted over the internet, Wi-Fi style.
Now, while the Fourth Amendment affirms the right of the people to be secure in their homes against unlawful searches and seizures, people might be unwittingly bringing these spy devices right into their homes under the guise of efficiency.
Seemingly innocuous electrical appliances such as rice cookers and refrigerators are now being manufactured with Google's Android operating system and an internet connection. Of course, the suggestion is that these technological leaps are a good thing. But Google long ago announced its plans to direct targeted advertising through technological devices by using the ambient background noise of a person's environment to spy on their activities. The search engine giant filed a petition for advertising based on environmental conditions and describes using temperature, humidity, light, and air composition to produce targeted adverts. Google recently purchased smart thermostat maker Nest for more than $3 billion. Nest takes over the heating and cooling system of a person's home to direct energy consumption. Well, now the thermostats will be enhanced by Google to connect with the web. Google has made no secret about literally wanting to control your home, so now they're just making sure all of your appliances are equipped with this surveillance technology when they're ready to launch. Everything from Xbox to Verizon TV boxes have this technology that enables industries to peer right into your home and analyze your actions, conversations, and relationships. The terms of service for Xbox Live warn that a user should not expect any level of privacy concerning use of the live communication features, and to the maximum extent permitted by law, they may monitor your communications and disclose information about you. The most disturbing and worrisome Big Brother gossip is not that Xbox maker Microsoft was involved in the NSA Prism scandal or that the console sits listening 24/7 for voice commands. No, the most startling revelation is Kinect's ability to map your shape in high def.
The new Xbox One can see your penis.
Now, these are just several ways that the government has already tapped into your home, but I haven't even touched on the smartest device that you own.
Your phone comes equipped with a microphone, camera, and tracking device that gives the NSA backdoor access to everything you do and who you're doing it with.
But no, I'm not talking about your phone. I've just been talking about light bulbs and thermostats. It should be abundantly clear by now that this has nothing to do with energy efficiency and innovation.
This is about a well-planned, well-orchestrated agenda for the complete transformation of America. Educate yourself on every aspect of this agenda so that you can learn how to fight this takeover attempt.
And on simplest terms, vote with your dollars by refusing to buy into this smart technology.
Leanne titled that street surveillance. She did another report with a man on the street asking folks about that because they're putting them in Austin. We'll air that report coming up after we take some phone calls if we have time. But what an incredible report. That's real journalism. If you're a radio listener, everything she said, she showed government documents or news articles, including how they have the light bulbs that communicate with your computer. I've been telling folks about that for 6 years. I first saw it in MIT Magazine, then the Associated Press, and they have national news shows that make fun of me and say he claims that light bulbs are watching you. And it's just a complete denial while all of this is openly happening. By the way, she gave that headline, street surveillance. I want to take that video that aired on the Nightly News last night. I want to post that on Infowars.com as the top story. And it needs some bombshell headline. And then link under it Steve Watson's article that came out last night. A link to his article about, you heard it here first, laptops, Xboxes, and more are watching you. We need to have her video and then that article under it. Some of our best stuff breaks in the evening, and a third of the people read stuff in the evening and at night. They read it in the morning and during the day. And it's frustrating because I want to societally turn this back. I mean, that's so horrible what you just heard and so over the chart. I don't even know the headline to come up with that's bad enough to describe what we just saw. Total, you know, special report. America 1,000 times worse than 1984. I don't know. Naked body scanners on the streets. 1,000 times worse than 1984. I mean, that's the problem. When you're faced with sensational developments and these companies spying on everything you do illegally, outside of law, using the data to corner the market, to surveil you, to cheat you. They use customer databases to charge you more online. They know if you have more money or a surfing history. So when you go online, suddenly the prices are higher because they know your algorithm and what you'll pay. Amazon can ship your package before you order it with 100% certainty. That's mind control, folks. That's mapping the human brain. Every culture knew a 1984 scenario was bad. This is now beyond that. Toll-free number to join us. I want to hear from you on all these subjects. The subjects of Obamacare and how bad it really is now. The subject of the scanners on the streets. But look at these two articles. Reuters, and then there's another one out of the AP. Google ordered to remove anti-Islamic film from YouTube. I should add, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll go to your phone calls, 800-259-9231. Now, continuing here, Google ordered to remove anti-Islamic film from YouTube. They also arrested the guy and put him in jail for a year. They claimed this video caused Benghazi, which had already been out for a while, the trailer, and was not connected to it. To make it like it was our fault, like free speech caused it. A U.S. appeals court on Wednesday ordered Google Inc. to remove from its YouTube video sharing website an anti-Islamic film that has sparked protests across the Muslim world. Well, now radical Islam will burn stuff and we'll do whatever they say. This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. By a 2-1 vote, a panel from the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals rejected Google's assertion that the removal of the film Innocence of Muslims amounted to prior restraint of free speech that violated the U.S. Constitution. Yeah, they should sue that film company. And, of course, they wouldn't win. So instead, they're saying, take the video down because it depicts Muhammad as a bad guy. Sorry, that's free speech. That's Western culture. And if you can take our right to do that, then everybody's free speech goes out the window, folks. I don't want to burn a Quran or a Bible, but you got to defend somebody's right to do it. Because once you give in to that, folks, once you get rid of the free speech, everything else follows. So extremely serious situation. The plaintiff, Cindy Lee Garcia, had objected to the film after learning that it incorporated a clip she had made for a different movie, which had been partially dubbed, in which she appeared to be asking, "Is your Muhammad a child molester?" So they're trying to claim that's the reason they're going after it, but it sends a free speech chilling statement. In a statement, Google said, "We strongly disagree with this ruling and we'll fight it." Chris Armetta, a lawyer for Garcia, says she's delighted with the decision. Ordering YouTube and Google to take down the film is the right thing to do. The controversial film, billed as a film trailer, depicted the Prophet Muhammad as a tool, as a fool, and a sexual deviant. It sparked a turn of anti-American unrest in the Middle East with Muslims, Libya, Egypt, and other countries. And it goes on to say the outbreak coincided with the attack on the U.S. diplomatic facilities in Benghazi. Our law permits even the vilest criticisms of governments, political leaders, and religious figures. as legitimate exercises of free speech, the company wrote in response to the ruling. Now, if you don't think that's an outright attack on free speech, look at this next article right here. Associated Press. Remember, all over the U.S., you're not allowed to wear American flags because the illegals see it as offensive? AP. Court. School can ban U.S. flag shirts for safety. See, if your free speech doesn't make it safe, if somebody makes threats, we give in to them, and your free speech is banned. Officials, not public servants, at a Northern California high school acted appropriately when they ordered students wearing American flag T-shirts to turn the garments inside out during Mexican Heritage Celebration, Cinco de Mayo, a federal appeals court ruled yesterday. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, same folks that said you can't have that video, said that the officials' concerns of racial violence outweighed students' freedom of expression rights. So see, the La Reconquistas, Mecha La Raza, Hispanic Ku Klux Klan groups, they don't like the American flag, so you can't wear it. Administrators feared the American flag shirts would inflame the passions of Latino students celebrating the Mexican holiday. Live Oak School in San Jose suburb of Morgan Hill had a history of problems between white and Latino students on that day. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You go out on Cinco de Mayo, it's Mexican flags everywhere. Mexico, Mexico, La Raza, Plan of San Diego. And Plan of San Diego is to kill all whites under the over the age of 16. And we've gone up and interviewed folks and said, what does your shirt mean? It means we're going to take over and we're going to kill you. And the media is like, oh, how sweet, how good, kill the gringo. And, you know, I'm just sick of it that our government and our media fosters this and pushes this as much as they can. Because it's all part of the balkanization of this country and is thoroughly disgusting. Okay, let's go to your phone calls. Let's talk to Average Joe in Illinois, his take on Ukraine. Go ahead.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Worldwide broadcast.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, I just want to talk about these neo-Nazis that I've been hearing about, because I've been following the Ukraine situation ever since the riots started happening. They started getting really serious. And I was watching it on RT live on the internet on YouTube, and they had a live place where you could actually talk, and I saw a lot of anti-Semitic comments, a lot of people saying, you know, Jews get out of Ukraine and stuff. So I just want to get your take on what these guys are wanting to do now.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. The globalists will use any group they can to break a country down. So they'll try to turn all the Hispanics into, quote, La Raza, for those in the race, everything, those outside the race, nothing. They will go in and look at the demographics in Ukraine and say the majority of people are anti-Slav, anti-Russian, and were pro-Nazi during large parts of World War II. We will fund the right-wing groups to take over. And they'll double-cross them in the end as well, just like they'll fund al-Qaeda to go in and take over Syria. So it's total balkanization, total destruction is the plan. But you're right. It is. I see that all over the place. I see it on comments on InfoWars about, you know, quit defending the Jews, Slavs, and, you know, all this, Alex. You know, get behind the Ukrainians. And it's just like, I'm not taking either side. I'm just pointing out our State Department is behind this. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree with you on that. I totally agree that the U.S.-backed protesters are in line with the EU, and I totally believe that if the EU gets control of the entire Ukraine, then they're just going to bleed them dry. And
well, that's their plan. That's what the EU does. I appreciate your call. Jeremy in Kansas. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex.
Hey.
I'd like to discuss two things. Maybe let's deal with the historical thing, and then we'll talk about Tucker Carlson. I think we should see this, whatever's going on in Ukraine and plus Syria, as an extension of the Gladio networks from the post-World War II era that did false flag bombings all across Europe, and also a combination of that with the Irgun and the Haganah and the Stern Gang of the early terrorists that helped
Israel,
Palestine.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm not screening your caller. You want me to screen your call right now? That's really weird. And then his phone hung up. Or maybe that's the dramatic thing, like we hung up on him. I never get that. It's like they call in and they say, I want to discuss this, and they start talking, and then they hang up. Are you back?
No, Alex, can you hear me?
You got call waiting or something? You want to pick up that other phone?
No, can you?
He's playing some kind of game. Yeah, no, they use terrorist groups to set up all these new states. I mean, that's true. Let's go to Bill. We only got about 50 seconds. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, Bill Moyers last week had Mike Lofgren on his show. And, you know, there's a lot that I don't like about Bill Moyers, but occasionally he has some good stuff.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Yeah, and Mike Lofgren wrote a book called The Party's Over. You can look up about it. But his entire presentation on the show sounded like a script from Alex Jones. I mean, word for word. The only thing he says, it's not a conspiracy, but like you, he says it's all out in the open.
So yeah, Bill Moyers exposed shadow government, COG, government narcotics trafficking back in the 80s. But then they jerked his chain in the 90s and stuff, didn't do much good stuff that I saw. Stay there. I want to hear more about this, Bill. Don't hang up. We're going to come back to you, then Michael, and then Ray and
uncover
others.
A simple...
We're talking to Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, I'm going to write this down. My pen wasn't working. Now I've got it working. You're saying you watch Bill Moyers and there's a book out basically describing how everything works called The Party's Over. And it basically, you said, sounded just like my show on PBS in an hour-long presentation with Bill Moyers?
You're right. L-O-F-G-R-E-N. So he had him on. He did a breakdown of what he calls the anatomy of the deep state. In other words, we look at Washington, we think it's broken, but the military-industrial complex is smoothly going along. Democrats and Republicans are voting for the NSA, for all of this NDAA, all of this stuff that is taking away our liberties. And he also points out how Obama is in the pocket of Wall Street and the big banks. It was excellent.
Well, we're going to get him on. The party's over, and I guess he just basically says both parties are controlled. Well, this realization is happening. That's why we could have Tucker Carlson in here and him basically say, I agree with almost everything you say now. Over there on the TV end, this hasn't aired yet, he goes, I've got to say, you're pretty much right about everything now, and I can't believe it. I must be going crazy. And so what's happening is it's safe now to admit how much trouble we're in, and I think that's a very, very positive thing. Anything else, Bill?
Yeah, one other thing, that, and I'm going to throw this out, Alex. You've made a comment here several times over the last couple weeks that the Earth revolves around the sun. And I'm going to ask you where you go in the universe, at what fixed point to prove that. In other words, I'm a traditionalist. I believe in Scripture. And I believe that God's creation, namely the earth, is the center. Not the sun.
Well, you can say that that spiritually the Earth is the center of our reality. I appreciate your call, but you know they're able to land lunar landers, Mars rovers, send probes to Venus, probes to Mercury, and it's all to certain feet with radio telescopes, with measurements. We know that the planets orbit the sun. And my point in bringing that up is that one in four Americans don't know that the Earth orbits the sun. And I understand there's a lot of stuff out in the Kuiper Belt that has an elliptical orbit and the rest of it, but I understand people not believing the system so much that they throw out established science. And look at how they say it's established science that man-made global warming's real when it's been a proven fraud. But I don't go to the extreme then of thinking, you know, the Earth is flat. Because the establishment's been caught lying so much. Now, we've got Michael in Oregon and Ray and Scott and Mark and Ivan. You guys have a lot of great questions. And you know what? I got a guy coming on who'll be able to answer your questions. He'll talk 30 minutes about Ukraine. And he never got to finish when he was on 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago about the World War III plan. I think he is one of the smartest, most informed guys out there. So we'll talk about that the first 30 minutes. We're going to go right to him next segment. But then I'll open the phones up, free for all, so you can talk to Joel Skousen. I'm told we got good audio on a Skype today, so that'll be fantastic because I love having him in studio. Now, please don't forget we're listener-supported. We have the new Molon Labe women and men's shirts with the Greek helmet, with the crossed M4 223s, and the victory wreath. The best Molon Labe shirt out there, our best seller. We now have the gold foil for women in a women's design, all made in America, InfoWarsStore.com. And I want to thank you all for shopping with us because that's how you fund us. We are listener supported. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are joined for the rest of the hour by the editor of World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen. And I wanted to get him on to talk about the Ukraine situation. I know we're kind of getting Ukraine fatigue, but the big developments have begun to unfold. Russian troops have gone into the area of eastern Ukraine that's mainly Russian, the Crimea. They got fighter jets scrambled, quote, preparing for battle with enemies. Russia admits troops are moving into Crimea. U.S.-backed neo-Nazi party given key roles in Ukrainian government. Federal court denies First Amendment in California. Coup government in Kiev demands U.S. Britain mount military response in the Crimea. Now let's start World War III. TSA detains libertarian blogger after seeing Bitcoin in his bag. Again, Russian Air Force drills Ukraine attack plan for military invasion. This is a big development. Here's another headline. 12 signs that Russia is ready to fight a war over Crimea. I get sick of hearing about it. I'm not siding with Russia either, but George Soros' people, the globalists, are in there trying to destabilize things. Some of the folks in Ukraine have real beefs with the Russian-backed government. They had a Western-backed government in 2004. Joel, some stations join us the next segment, so I need you to repeat whatever you say now, but where do you come down on this? Because I don't like coming down on the side of Russia, but I also don't want to come down on the side of Hillary and the State Department and George Soros. It's this old quandary of both sides are bad. I go to the fact that it looks like the West is starting this, so the initiation of the coup says that the Western invasion is bad. Or what do you think?
Well, actually, you're going to get a whole different view from me because, you know, my biggest expertise is understanding what the conspiracy is all about. And there's not just one conspiracy. There is a Russian conspiracy.
No, I know there is. That's what I'm asking you.
That's right. But in fact, everything that we've heard on the alternate media has been wrong. This coup was not a Western coup. This was a phony coup pulled off by the pro-Russian forces themselves to make it look like a collapse. And to turn it on its head. In other words, we got to go one level deeper in conspiracy theory to understand this is the same thing that happened in the phony coup to overthrow the Soviet Union. There's never been a coup, Alex, in the world that hasn't been done by a military takeover, except in Russia and now Ukraine. Are we to believe that, suddenly all of the powerful forces of the KGB and the Russian army simply collapsed and let unarmed people take over the government of the Soviet? It didn't happen. It was a staged coup, and it was a fraud. And the same thing happened this weekend in the Ukraine. I mean, it's amazing, Alex. No one in the mainstream or even the alternative media asked these essential questions that I put out in today's World Affairs Brief. Number one, who gave the orders for all the riot police, the Berkut, to melt away and leave their posts so that the totally disarmed opposition could easily take control of the city?
No, I pointed that out last week, but I'm going to give you the floor when we come back. That's why I said this is very confusing for me. because why did the government stand down? I thought that was because of the Western threat. They wanted to look good, but they had to know then that, this group would take over. Since when do police let rioters shoot them and not shoot back?
That's right. I mean, this was scripted. I mean, who gave the orders to the pro-Russian Party of Regions?
Right, well, I want you to start over. We're going to come back. Yeah. I'm going to give you the floor. Joel, that's why I got you on, because I really do respect your view, and nine times out of ten, it's turned out to be very accurate and very piercing. So we want to get your take on this and then tie it into the larger strategy. But, I mean, was Georgia a staged event as well, or was that different in 2008?
Well, that was different. I'll explain that as well.
Yeah, because that looked like that was really the West trying to test Russia, right?
Yeah, and well, it was the Israelis that were involved in that as well.
Yes, they were
on
involved.
On behalf of the globalists trying to instigate, I think, but they really did have to move troops.
All right, well, let's start at Georgia then when we come back.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
President Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at people at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were to run a full fast. They have done it, and we are dissenting, and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you be used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, it's that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I intellectually study geopolitics. I study different regions of the world. I like to be informed. I find it to be fun, enlightening, energizing. But the more you learn, the more you know you don't know. And the more you learn that governments do involve themselves in conspiracies, wheels within wheels. It's come out the bin Laden raid was staged, a.k.a. Cy Hirsch, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. We told you first. Joel Skousen told you as well. I've had Navy SEALs families on whose sons, before they were killed, blown up in the helicopter, said it was staged. They were going after a bin Laden double. There was no body thrown overboard on the ship. If they lie about all that, 9-11, you name it, they'd lie about anything. And there are different criminal organizations battling for control of the planet. Three different major power blocks. I agree with the editor-in-chief of worldaffairsbrief.com's analysis, former Marine Corps officer and a naval aviator in Vietnam, and again, World Affairs Brief commentary and insight on a troubled world. You can subscribe there on the site. We sell his big color book that's the best out there, according to all the survivalists I talked to, Strategic Relocation, with the film we made with him exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. I should add, invaluable information per region, your area on politics, race manipulation, resources, threats, you name it, not just for the U.S., but worldwide. So Strategic Relocation, the book and the film. We also sell his bestseller, The Bible on Home Fortification, The Secure Home, all available at InfoWarsStore.com. But that's a side issue. The reason I wanted to get Joel Skousen on is I don't, as I've said, worship Vladimir Putin. I don't romanticize him. I know it's just a different power block. I don't like George Soros, the State Department, and what they're doing, $5 billion into Ukraine back in 2004, putting another government in. What's really going on? But we know at the highest levels between EU, Russia, the West, the United States, there's also backdoor deals, weapons transfers. China's been given all our bases, the deep water ports, the Panama Canal, the industry. So there's high-level double-crossing going on, and something doesn't feel right about all this. And Joel Skousen brought up the point that it looks like the West is backing a coup. It looks like they're funding neo-Nazis. It looks terrible. You've got so-called protesters being called freedom fighters, shooting police at point blank, not getting in trouble, taking over the presidential palace, no one resists, taking over the airports, beating people up, and now you've got the Russians going into eastern Ukraine. Is this a covert deal like the Warsaw Pact or before that when Hitler split part of Poland with Stalin? Is that getting ready to happen? What's really going on here with all your research, Joel Skousen? What's your take on this?
Well, my take, Alex, is that this is pure and simple a faked coup done by the Russians, not by the West, because they are the only ones. It's only the Russian-backed majority rulers in Ukraine that could have given the orders to the Berkut to go back to the barracks and let the opposition have full reign. I mean, the EU globalists don't have that kind of control there. There's only one person. For example, look at the pro-Russian Party of Regions, who has the vast majority in the Rada, which is the Ukrainian parliament. They were voting, in a block to stop any reforms. And all of a sudden, on Saturday, they switch and vote unanimously to oust President Yanukovych. Unanimously. Somebody had to give them the word. I mean, this is like the old Soviet days when you see these pictures of the whole Soviet parliament raising their hand in unison and saying, aye, you know. This only happens when you have absolute party control, when you switch things like that. In other words, you know, Paul Craig Roberts talks about the fact that on Sunday, all of a sudden, the Party of Regions started to claim that they had threats on their lives. People were shooting at them. They had to flee for their lives. There were mass resignations. But remember, that happened after they voted unanimously. Why would the opposition be shooting at them and threatening their lives if they were already complying and voting 100% with the opposition? It just doesn't make sense. I'll tell you what happened. It was the secret services controlled by the Russians that not only threatened President Yanukovych to leave, but also the members of the Party of Regions after they had voted to oust Russia. Why would they do that? Because, remember, you've got to make the Ukraine look like it's in Western hands now and controlled, even though it's not. The entire opposition has been created by the Soviets. They control Yulia Tymoshenko and have for years, but she plays up to the West as if she's pro-Western. But Putin and she have a very, very close relationship. And that wouldn't happen if she was truly anti-Russian. And look at Yanukovych's press conference in Russia today, claiming he left only because his life was threatened, and then he was being shot at in his car all along his exit route as he left the country. I'm sorry, Alex, but that just doesn't wash. There aren't but a handful of old hunting rifles in the hands of the opposition. So it's hardly believable they could set up a running ambush on his escape route that nobody knew where he was going or what the escape route was.
So what's the bigger strategy?
Well, here's the bigger strategy. Remember that, let me just cover one other thing, too. You know, the UK Telegraph says that the Russians admitted that armored units from the Black Sea Fleet base near Sevastopol have entered Crimea in order to protect fleet positions. This is the story that everyone's claiming is Russia's moving troops into the Crimea. This is not true. These are only units that are already at the naval base at Sevastopol, and which is in Crimea. They're not moving into Crimea. They're already there, and they're simply going to other bases to ensure that Russia protects its naval bases. This is not in any way a move by Russian military, and neither are the fighter repositioning. This is all political theater by Putin to make it appear, and the Western media is playing this up as if this is a major thing. So here's the game plan. The Ukrainian opposition, of course, is really opposed to the extreme bureaucracy and evil that remains even during Timoshenko when she was prime minister from 2005 to 2010. Nothing changed. This is typical of when you have a phony coup. That is, the communists were still in charge of all the bureaucracy. Everybody was still requiring bribes to get anything done. Nothing changed. There was no freedom change in the Ukraine or anywhere else in the Soviet Union. And so naturally, the people have had enough, and they really, and it tipped the tip of the iceberg when Yanukovych refused to have this trade agreement with the EU. So this was legitimate hatred against Russian domination of Western Ukraine. Now, the problem is this opposition in Ukraine was getting too fervent and legitimately so. Yes, there was some flow of Western support in here, but it was not, as Paul Craig Roberts said, a daily handing out of cash. There was one time stiftungs or subscription, not subscription, but scholarship money that went to some of the students on the front lines. But I have contacts who are right there on the front lines in Ukraine saying these people are just normal people. They actually, you know, don't have any food. They don't have any money. They are sacrificing because they hate this regime. Most of these protesters were absolutely legitimate. As for the claims that there are neo-Nazis protected and supported by the rest, remember, there are no neo-Nazis anywhere in the world, legitimate neo-Nazis. They're only agent provocateurs built up by governments, and Russia does the same thing. They build up, they pay people to become skinheads and neo-Nazis to give the right wing in the world a bad name. And the Russians play this just like the West, because, you see, neo-Nazis give them an excuse to attack anyone who's associated with that view. But there's nobody who in their right mind wants to go and champion something in the name of the Nazis, unless they're paid you know, for by governments. So we've got to really see through what's going on there. But let me get to the final point, that is, what's the game plan? The opposition was rising much faster than Russia's remilitarization. Russia isn't anywhere near ready to take on the West. And so here's what they've done in order to prolong the conflict in the Ukraine. They pulled a phony coup so that now it appears that Western Ukraine is in the hands of the globalists, but they're not. They're in the hands of Russian puppets masquerading as pro-EU people, like Timoshenko. You mark my words, she'll be back in power pretty soon. Already the prime minister has been named as one of her former lieutenants, and that shows that her Freedom Party is going to be back in power soon. But now, from now on, you're going to have a constant conflict between the Eastern European or Russian base.
Tell you what, stay there. I'm going to come back and break this down. Stay with us. Joel, I want you to get into what happened in Georgia in 2008. I want to get your take on the forces involved in that, because clearly you look at it, that was the West trying to go in and test Russia. But this, there are a lot of telltale signs that it was staged when the police stood down. The argument was, well, they're doing that to look friendly, but the rest of the government stood down as well. And then I guess the country goes into a permanent destabilization where they can play the literal right and left off, the two different sides of the country, the right from the West and the Russian from the East, and then just use that as a tool of political control. I know Russia, to a certain extent, collaborates with the EU, but is against the Anglo-American, British, U.S. power bloc. Explain the strategy there.
Well, the strategy is, remember, that Russia has always intended to strike the West. They want to run their own new world order with them in control. We've got a temporary pact with China to join with them to control the world, and they'll have to fight it out, whatever. And they haven't gone that far down the road. But the goal is to take down the hegemony of the West. And but they're not ready to do that yet. So what I'm saying is it's very important to understand that in the status quo that was going on before, last Friday and before, was that the pro-Western Western Ukrainians were the beleaguered ones, and Russia was the bad guys. That's all the news kept saying. Russia has ironclad control of Ukraine, and the Westerners want to be free. The Russians are the bad guys. Now it's been reversed. And this is why this really plays to Russia's favor. Because if they want to postpone the eventual taking back of the Soviet states, whether it's Czechoslovakia, Poland, Ukraine, Georgia, etc., instead of playing like they're independent, if they want to take them back with force someday, they got to wait till they're militarily ready to take on the West, and they're not. So we've got several years that they've got to bide their time. So, but in order to do that, you've got to play the same game that Hitler played by attacking his own people, the Germans, in Poland and in Czechoslovakia, in order to justify that intrusion. It's too early for that justification. Everybody keeps thinking Russia's going to attack Ukraine right now to take it back, and it's too early. It's going to make Russia look very, very bad. They want more disarmament with the West. The West wants more unilateral disarmament with Russia to make sure that they pave the way for this war. And so what they've got to do is slow the process down. Now what happened after Saturday's phony coup? Now the Eastern Russians are the beleaguered people. And it's the Western Ukraine that's going to be the bad guys. That's why they had to have all of the pro-Russian majority in the Rada, in the parliament, resign. So that now it can be a majority of pro-Western people. They can get the blame for everything. Plus the fact, this allows the West to come to the rescue of Ukraine's bankruptcy. I mean, Ukraine is literally bankruptcy. They instituted currency controls today. The West, just like in the former Soviet Union, they're going to take over all of the payments and give bailout money to them. Russians are loving this. But the most important thing to remember now is that for now on in advance, the Russian, the Western, the phony opposition, these are run by Russians, but they're going to be claiming to be pro-EU. They're going to get the blame for everything that happens now. You're not going to see Eastern Ukraine and the Crimea secede. You're not going to see independence. And here's why. If they were to become independent, these majoritarian Russian populations in Eastern Ukraine and Crimea, everybody would be happy. The Western Ukrainians would be happy, and so would the Easterns, and you wouldn't have conflict anymore. What you're going to see is Russia's going to accept some type of federalization, which means that they're going to be federalized under a Ukrainian nation. But that means that the eastern portions will always be able to complain in the future about being underrepresented and oppressed by the dominant Western government. And eventually they can tweak that with protesters and with the ongoing unrest so that in a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, when they do want to take back Ukraine, they'll have the justification to do that. So do you see what I'm saying? You're going to have a much better permanent system of conflict by allowing Western Ukraine to go in, ostensibly to go into Western hands, when in fact it is Russian puppets playing as if they're in Western hands.
I want to come back and talk about Georgia and then take phone calls on the waterfront about strategy of the globalist, where you see that going. Michael wants to ask you about U.S. flags being banned in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals if the illegals find them offensive. Ray wants to ask you some other questions. Folks want to ask about smart tech and all the surveillance grid, the NSA. So Joel Skousen of worldaffairsbrief.com is our guest. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com on this live Friday edition. And I'll be back this Sunday, Lord willing, 4 to 6 p.m. with the Sunday live transmission right here on GCN.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
This hour is brought to you by MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex is where you find the specials. You can also call them toll-free 866-229-0927. They are the best horrible foods company out there. Non-GMO, organic, wide selection, a lot of great specials going. The system wants you dependent. The first thing we've all got to do is have water filtration and high-quality storable foods, and they've got you covered at MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex, and they're patriots just like us, so check out MyPatriotSupply.com. Now, before I go back to Joel Skousen, it is absolutely essential for everyone to realize that we are listener-supported, and when you buy a Molon Labe Come and Take It t-shirt, or you buy a Camouflage InfoWars.com ball cap, made in America, You are supporting a hardcore patriot, libertarian, constitutionalist organization that promotes basic Americana ideas of due process, the family, men are men, women are women, the whole nine yards. InfoWarsStore.com. You can find our great supplements that take natural herbs and things to block the estrogen mimickers, like Supermel Vitality. It's got my friends and family just raving. You've heard the rave reviews come in. We've got that 15% off into next week. You've got the Survival Shield, truly nascent iodine, proprietary, turns blue on paper, not black. It's real iodine, real nascent. Does so much to purify your body. Look how much weight I've lost on it. Just does so much for our thyroids that have been bombarded. Naturally boosts your thyroid. I was told a year ago by many folks, and I went to doctors. I was told by Joel, actually, and I went to medical doctors and others, and I talked to pharmacist Ben Fuchs. He said, you need real nascent iodine, but it's hard to find. Well, I finally found it, bought the company out, put it out to you, the one place that has it. The company still is able to put it out, but it's double the price, half the size. That's why I said we have double the strength, half the size. Double the strength, double the size. I guess it would just be double the size, but you can say double the strength of the leading competitor. It is double the size, so it's double the strength. I guess that's an accurate statement. The point is that we have that exclusive. And so we have that available at InfoWarsLife.com. We've got the Survival Shield, the Fluoride Shield, and the Super Male Vitality. And speaking of males, we have John Wayne on the cover of the new March issue that just came in. You can buy it in bulk at cost. So you can hand out to friends and family as low as $1 a piece, big glossy color magazine. And half the magazine is about chemicals, biologicals, radiologicals to basically drug the population to make us very, very easy to control in the globalist own words. So a great thing to give people so they understand why there's a war on men. And when we finish up with Georgia and then go to phone calls, I want to ask, I've never asked Joel his view on this, see if he agrees with me or if he sees that message out there, what's behind that. But going back to Joel Skousen, Joel, so what is the larger, let's spend 10 minutes then go to calls, on the three power blocks. Undoubtedly the globalists in their own documents say that is the power blocks. You're very accurate in that research. So what are the power blocks up to? What does this Ukraine thing mean? When will Russia be ready for the strike? Will they strike us with China? And go, but start off with Georgia, because from what I looked at, that was a real attack. What was that about?
Well, that was the West in combination with Israel, because, what the West does to have plausible deniability about directly giving military arms to something to exacerbate the Russian and former Soviet state situation. They use Israel. A lot of Americans don't realize that they use Israel to send a lot of military technology to China, which is going to be our number one enemy someday, even more, greater than Russia. And people would be incensed if they knew that Israel had a green light to transfer technology to China. But they also did it to Abkhazia and South Ossetia. These are the two semi-autonomous regions of Georgia that wanted to defect and become independent. And, of course, the West normally does, like to encourage independence. But really, they knew that Russia wasn't going to let that happen. And they did that to simply tweak Russia. Russia did, in fact, have to use military power to come in because of the fact that they had Israeli advisors in there. It looked to them like they were really trying to use military force to break away. This is entirely different than what happened in the Ukraine. Remember, the opposition has no military forces, none whatsoever. Maybe even a handful of hunting rifles. There's no way that they could have done a coup, and that's why Russia has no reason to come in and to do a military, invasion to retake Ukraine.
So you're saying just like Arab Spring, the West knows a rebellion's coming, Russia knows it's coming, so they pre-trigger it so they can then control it, discredit it later.
And even worse, the prime minister today is saying he's accusing Russia of trying to invade Ukraine based upon the same phony information that I just told your audience about in Crimea. This is not Russian troops coming in from outside Crimea. These are Russian troops already in Crimea by prior agreement with Ukraine. They're simply shuffling some forces around to make sure that all the military bases are protected. Now, I'm not defending Russia, but they're tweaking the nose of the West, and the new Ukrainian government is tweaking the nose of Russia. But this is all political theater. nothing is going to happen in a major military way. This is just the onset of continual conflict. And getting back to the bigger picture here, it's my estimation, based upon what I've studied about Russian rearmament and China rearmament, or actual armament — they aren't rearming, but engaged in massive armament, especially of missile forces — they still aren't going to be ready until at least 2020. And even though they're ready, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a strike in 2020. It's going to be sometime in the next decade, not before. Now, as you get closer to the point when they're ready, if they see an opportunity, it's possible that they could strike earlier than that. So I'm not trying to say that there's a definitive time that anyone — I mean, we're talking about three different multiple conspiracies here. There's no way anyone can say this is going to happen on a certain date. But we can tell when, by their own statements, they feel like they're going to be ready with their newest weapon systems. And everything out of the Russian system and the Chinese talks about post 2020 in terms of being ready with new aircraft carriers, with new submarines, with their new missile systems. And all the while, of course, the U.S. is disarming. We haven't built a new missile in 20 years, and we're shooting off what Minuteman III missiles we have and not replacing them. I mean, it's an incredible suicidal mission of the West to try to set the stage. And what they have to do, remember, they have to induce Russia and China to strike. As strong as they are getting, they still have, especially Russia, has a lot of decrepit systems, a lot of older systems. They got quantity. They don't have a lot of quality except in their newest systems, and they're very low in quantity of those things. But the globalists continue to have to disarm to induce them to strike. And the big picture I want to put out is, and people don't understand, why is it the globalists would want to bring on a nuclear strike onto America? And it's because you can't get Americans to give up essential freedoms, national sovereignty, and yield to a global government unless the U.S. military gets taken down. If they let the U.S. military get taken down in a preemptive nuclear strike, then they can come out of their bunkers, and our leaders are building huge underground bunkers because they know this strike is coming. If they come out of their bunkers and say, oh, the Russians and Chinese deceived us, we didn't know this was going to happen, but our only salvation now is to join together with NATO and other forces and form a new world government to prosecute this war, and literally everyone will lay down and say, save us, do whatever it takes, we don't care about sovereignty, just do what it takes. That's why this is going to happen. But they do have secret weapon systems. I believe they have space-based weapon systems that are going to be used to stop any further strikes while the West regroups and pulls out a lot of secret military weapons that they've been developing, not to defend us with, but to prosecute this war afterwards. I'm projecting that Russia will be defeated eventually in that war because the West will cut a deal with China to betray Russia and turn on its rear, and Russia can't win. And here's the advantage for China in that. He gets to eliminate the other third leg of the conspiracy for the New World Order. And then it's only China versus the West. And then the West wants that. They want a reinvigorated China. They'll use, just like we invigorated Russia during World War II, by giving them all that aid and lend-lease, we'll do the same with China. Because the West wanted the Cold War. They wanted this great enemy because it would justify so much more militarization. And the globalists will want an enemy, a Cold War enemy, after World War III to justify keeping all of the militarized troops of the world government.
And by the way, these same elites stirred up World War I and World War II, and in so many of their writings, they say they need something bigger than a regional war. Rand Corporation and others have said in the last 3 years they need a World War III to get the Anglo-American world government in place. So, I mean,
and to keep it militarized, Alex, to keep it militarized, they need a war big enough that they've got an enemy on the other side. You can't win it all. That's why they sabotaged and didn't let us win against Russia. In fact, we let Russia.
Sure, that's why they didn't let Patton go in and beat Stalin, right, or MacArthur, because they wanted to keep him there.
That's right. So we're going to have, after World War III, a powerful world government with a global military and a global taxation system, a new currency. Remember, you can't have a collapse of the dollar in a new currency unless you have a world government to manage it. They're certainly not going to let if the dollar collapsed, they wouldn't let the Fed reconstitute a new currency. And the Fed isn't going to let control of world finance. That's why I keep saying there's not going to be an economic collapse until this war comes. And that gives the powers that be cover. It's not their fault then if the economy collapses, because war did it.
Oh, it's
not
clear. Notice they staged 9/11 right as the .com went under.
Exactly.
I mean, they're always pulling stuff so they don't get the blame. Now, I want to go to phone calls, but let me be more domestic here. The constant attack on men, the constant attack on women in traditional roles, the attack on children, the feminization, all of this, what is the goal behind that? I mean, I've got my views on it. I don't think I've ever asked you your views, Joel Skousen, about the war on men, because it is really kicking into high gear right now.
Well, this goes back to what we've talked about before, that at the bottom, this is a satanic conspiracy. He's giving direction. This is a real person, just like God is real, fighting against God and all that is good. There's no globalist purpose, you know, for emasculating manhood or destroying Western culture and other things, other than the fact, or promoting homosexuality for that, unless you want to destroy the moral fiber of a nation. And that's why this multifaceted front that you've so eloquently described is really something that is satanic. And it isn't a uniform conspiracy in the sense that anyone involved is being dictated to. You know, just like God speaks to conscience, Satan's in there all the time as well. And you have innately liberal people, innately immoral people, who get those little hints from conscience to go ahead and attack all that is good and to promote that which is evil and to emasculate masculinity and promote feminism and all of this. And they can do that without conspiracy, that is, of a human variety. Because the grandest conspiracy is the fact that Satan himself works a multifaceted front in people's minds through organizations, through leadership that he is allowed to get people into.
Sure, it's a spiritual sickness.
Yes, it is.
But it's so obvious now.
And it's not easy to overcome. You know, yes, repentance and returning to Jesus Christ is the answer, but we can't force those things. We can only do that by invitation. And so that's why the battle is one of dividing society. And that's what I see coming up to this war, is more and more society is going to be divided between those that see that there's a conspiracy, that they control both political parties, those that have a moral foundation. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of Christian churches are being suborned by becoming mainstream and not being and being afraid of being criticized for being extreme and radical. Pastor Chuck Baldwin has some marvelous writings about and criticisms about the mainstream Christian churches and how they're basically getting into the New World Order without.
Oh, they're taking government money and literally just spouting whatever the mainstream media says now.
Yeah.
I tell you, what's the time frame, do you think, 5 to 10 years till they try this World War III thing?
As I say, I don't think it's coming before 2020. Now, as you get closer to that, I mean, you can't hold me to that because they could take an opportunity to move forward. But I think we've still got a good 5 years to fight this battle.
And you're saying we see North Korea start shelling Seoul, get out of major cities.
That's right. Because that's going to be the trigger event of World War III. There has to be some reason why they treat North Korea with kid gloves, that they don't ever have a military option for taking them down or regime change. They know North Korea is going to be the trigger to start it. We may have to use tactical nuclear weapons to stop that kind of attack, and that will justify China and Russia for initiating a nuclear preemptive strike because we started with tactical nuclear weapons.
And they have the PDDs in place where the sub-commanders and silo commanders can't fire back, they'll be totally destroyed.
That's right. You know, our sub and missile commanders believe that they're going to be given the orders to launch on warning when Russia and China launch against us. But I don't believe those orders are ever going to arrive.
And for those that don't know, until the PDDs got changed under Clinton and continued by Bush and Obama, if the missiles are tracking in, they have the authorization to defend. Now they've taken that away.
That's right. And they have told them in PDD 60, 1997, to prepare to retaliate after absorbing a nuclear first strike that don't depend on. They didn't actually tell them you're not going to be able to launch. They just said don't depend on it. Structure your system so that you can retaliate after absorbing a nuclear first strike. And General Butch Neal of the Marine Corps said, retaliate with what? He was just incensed. And especially since in that same year, Clinton agreed with the Russians that we would keep 50% of our missile submarines in port, either in Kings Bay, Georgia, or Bangor, Washington, to make it easier for the Russians to target them. because they were in port. I mean, this is just incredible, Alex.
Yep, and meanwhile, the media pushes 24/7 to demonize the Tea Party. That's the big threat, the Homeland Security says. Let's talk to Michael in Oregon. You want to talk about U.S. flags being banned? You're on the air with Joel Skousen. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, Joel, it's a privilege, gentlemen. I got to tell you, Joel, what you say, it's overwhelming. I'm sitting here listening. It's overwhelming. I thank you for, you know, the insight that you give us. My son today and I were talking about the USA flags being banned on T-shirts in California. My son, who's 12, Connor, he said to me, Dad, that's just stupid. You know, out of the mouth of babes comes wisdom. And I thought I would ask you your take on that. I ordered a bunch of shirts, by the way. I'm going to pass them out, you know, nice Texas shirts and USA shirts. But I think it's crazy. What do you think about it?
Well, California, like New York, is one of those vanguard states of the left, of the globalists who are testing the waters on everything. They're pushing the envelope and just banning patriotism, banning Americanism, banning American culture, just par for the course for the kind of government that you have in California. You know, as a fellow Oregonian, I'll tell you, I wince at the Oregonian newspaper and, you know, the liberal elite in Portland and Eugene. I expect them to follow suit pretty soon, too. What California does, Oregon does, you know, a few years later.
And they're very proud of their anti-maleness. I'm seeing in the news now that it's offensive. Heterosexual couples, marriages, now see marriage itself as offensive. This isn't tolerance. This is that we're being conquered by this. It's amazing. All right, thank you, caller. Yeah, who had ever thought American flags banned because the illegals are offended by them? Only in America, the former America. More calls coming up.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like.
You can either build a civilization on truth and justice and building and advancing through common purpose and being honorable, or you can build one based on lies, deceit, and fraud, which always ends up collapsing. Well, that's the system we're going under right now. Joel Skousen of worldaffairsbrief.com is our guest right now. We're taking phone calls on this Friday edition. Lord willing, I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And there's InfoWars Nightly News, of course, 7 o'clock weeknights. We thank you all for your support and spreading the word. Ray in Illinois, he says he's a city council member. He wants to know what's next for the USA. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Joel. I've been a council member here for the past 3 years, and I actually got involved into doing this because of Alex and people like Alex and George and a few other like-minded people. And I want to say thank you for getting me involved, and I just hope that other people will get off the couch and instead of just complaining about what's going on, get involved some way or somehow. But, Joel, my question is, you talked about the timetable. What would happen, how significantly would that timetable go forward if an EMP pulse or a solar flare would hit North America like they've been talking about and wiping out our grid and our defenses going down? Would China and Russia say, hey, let's do it now instead of waiting, or what do you think about that?
Well, you know, that's a scenario that's been prognosticated by several people. Here's why I don't believe that an EMP will ever strike separate from an actual physical nuclear strike. One thing an EMP doesn't do, and let me just tell you about the technology of an EMP. The latest data from U.S. government and others is that it takes about 6 high-altitude nuclear weapons to blanket the whole U.S. to take down the whole grid in a very serious way, not just one. And so there's been a lot of hype about Iran sending a whole fleet of ships over towards our coast and that they're going to launch a missile off that. Just not technically very feasible to do that. It takes more than one missile. And even if it did happen, an EMP strike doesn't take out the military because it's been hardened. And so the military would know where it came from. They'd be able to retaliate so it doesn't achieve the purposes of either Russia and China or even a rogue state, you know, as if Iran would do that, which I don't believe they would. And so,
sure, if they're going to do that, just smuggle a nuke into Manhattan and detonate it.
That's right. I mean, if you want to just make a show and get your country retaliated against, I mean, if you want to do something suicidal, there are easier ways to do that than to try to do it with a missile on a ship coming into. But I just don't think that's going to happen. It really is more technical than people think to throw a high-altitude nuclear weapon up there, and it's got to be...
Well, in the 60s, the Pentagon detonated big hydrogen bombs in the atmosphere, and it did knock out power, but they found it was sporadic through the atmosphere.
That's right. It is sporadic. It takes about six to blanket the whole U.S., and even then, as I say, it doesn't take down the military because they're hardened.
Now, a sun EMP could actually hit the whole country, the equivalent of a big flare. Why is there so much military-industrial complex hype? We get hit by guests constantly wanting to come on about EMP.
Well, I don't know. You know, government agents have been hyping a lot of things in. And frankly, Alex, anybody who calls up, me included, and says, I'm an insider in government and I have some top secret information for you, I don't take it. Because nobody in today's NSA can get away with talking to anybody on our side without getting caught. And if they can do it week after week, you know it's permitted. It's not that they're really on our side.
Sure.
They're always giving...
What do you think about Snowden?
I think Snowden was legit. He doesn't match that same thing. He's told, here's the information, it's out. He's not claiming to be in the inside anymore. He's not claiming to have insider information. And he reads true and legit to me.
That's what I think. Do five more minutes. I know you got to go. I want to come back and finish up talking about that source situation. We'll be right back.
You are listening to GCN.
I'll be back Friday, folks. Well, it is Friday.
Visit
I'll be back
GCN
next Friday,
Live.
Obviously. But be back
today.
Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I agree with Joel Skousen that if you're getting real info from the government, even 15 years ago, I would have high-level tech company people, telecom people, and one time somebody connected to the NSA, they would come to a live event where I was speaking, signing books, videos, or at a movie theater or a bookstore, and would walk out, leave something on my car, or hand me something at a rodeo or a car show where I was doing a remote. And I was given NSA stuff. I was given documents. I was given stuff about Delta Force in South Texas, and then talked to the San Antonio police chief who they tried to bribe. So there are cases where whistleblowers speak out, but usually it's public to the Associated Press. The police chief, after I interviewed him, went public to the Associated Press. Ali Philippus about the military buying off the city for covert operations, and Thomas Sanchez of Kingsville. I've also been sent stuff by state police. I've been sent stuff by federal marshals. But it comes in unmarked mail, and then later I get a contact about it, and they get hopping mad. I got a call about the missing nukes, and I'm not going to say from who, but it was people that didn't know there were nukes hidden at Dyess were freaked out and got concerned. So there are, but then they never would talk to me after. And I can't say any more to let out who it is, but a big thing happened over that. Enough for me to fear for my life. So I want to be clear, though. There are real whistleblowers, but somebody that constantly says, I'm a government agent, here, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, over the phone, over email, that's not real, because real stuff, it's when people are not going to be part of evil anymore. They blow the whistle like Snowden at great risk of themselves. Do you agree with what I just said, Joel?
And they get out. That's right. There's no way to stay a whistleblower and not get caught when you're inside government.
Well, I mean, I don't want to actually prohibit whistleblowers, but they found out who the state police guy was. And then we tried to fire him. He was senior. And I mean, I can say that because people know who it is on the inside. And then he was able to keep his job and basically get put on a desk for sending me that info.
Right. By the way, before we go on, I want to congratulate you, Alex, on outlasting Piers Morgan. You're still here and he's gone.
Well, not by any work of my own, but by God's good graces. But yeah, Piers Morgan, though, it shows the mindset of the globalists thinking that that would ever be popular.
Well, Americans just don't like somebody looking down their nose at them and being disgusted with our Second Amendment rights.
But see, there's a lot of good stuff happening. I see a lot of people wake, but like you said, it's either people are waking up or they're getting more into the darkness. I just don't know. It's going to get crazy.
Yeah, there's a great division taking place within our society. And, you know, the one hopeful thing I want to say about my scenario about this war coming in World War III, the hidden blessing of that comes through any war, even though there's a great deal of horror and terror in war, is that a separation of society happens and the good become better and the worst become worse and a lot of them die. And what's the best thing, though, is that the Lord will drive people out of the major corrupt metropolitan areas. There won't be any jobs left to hold them there. And I think he'll inspire them to relocate to places where they'll have more liberty, and then we can reconstitute liberty on a more regional and local basis, even though I don't think we're ever going to win it back on the national scene because of the power of this secret combination of power that we're dealing with.
Well, undoubtedly, they are animated by a spirit of evil and deception. Folks can get your fine book and the accompanying film that I produced, Strategic Relocation, at InfoWarsStore.com, and that supports all of our work. Invaluable information for you and your family. Joel, thanks for spending time with us.
My pleasure, Alex. You know, I still get people calling me and telling me about that film that you did with me on strategic relocation. It's still popular out there.
Well, I appreciate you coming and doing it and letting us put it out on the internet for free as well. It is on YouTube for free. It's a public service. Everybody should have the hard copy DVD on their shelf and to show friends and family. Joel, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Strategic Relocation, the book and the film both go together like a horse and carriage. InfoWarsStore.com. Great job of the crew and everybody. We had Tucker Carlson on agreeing with me, so a lot of folks are waking up. That was interesting today. God bless.